Hey, welcome to the film podcast. Welcome one, welcome all. That's how we do it. Today we're doing our Comic-Con wrap-up. We're doing it in three different episodes. This is the film episode. And then you could find the TV one, where we talk about all the TV stuff we saw. And then the third one will be like video games, costumes we saw, the Godzilla.
Booths.
Yeah, booths.
Outside.
Outside stuff. The Godzilla
experience. Freebies. What was the good swag?
Yeah. Talk about that stuff. And at no point will we talk about comics. No, I'm kidding. We will, maybe. We're horrible.
Only talk about that one movie we will.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, for the people who have iDevices, like iPhones, iPads, or you're listening to on iTunes, you can, if you don't want to hear about a certain thing, you could forward it to the next thing. Everything's broken down in chapters. So when we talk about a movie and you're like, oh, I don't want anything spoiled or anything like that, you could forward to the next chapter and it'll take you to the next movie we saw. So it's that easy. All right. So as for the new listeners, if, you know, I assumed some people are just tuning in. I am Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
I'm the guest host today, Michelle, and we have another guest host.
Hello, Rory Haddon. What's up? Jenny's roommate.
I like that. I like how you give a lot of information in one sentence.
he defines himself as, that's how he introduces to people. He like walks down the street. I'm Rory Haddon, Jenny's roommate.
Yeah, people that don't even know Jenny, that's how they're like, okay.
That's and what's your handle on Twitter, guys? Just so people know. Maybe they know you already.
I'm at Michelle Coyle, because that's easy.
Yeah. And I'm at Groat Heartstroke.
That sounds like a really great porn name.
I know.
Who'd you work with today? Oh, just Groat Heartstroke. He was a gentle lover.
I should also say that, as you can tell from the sound of my voice, I did catch a little bit of the con crud. So you get to hear my super sexy voice all day today. Woohoo.
All right, so we'll start off by talking in this episode about all the film stuff we saw at Comic-Con. We'll do it by day. We'll start Thursday. Thursday was the first official day. Wednesday was a preview day. So this was the first day of like panels and stuff. So I guess, first of all, to give a little information about what we all did. Sorry if you hear a cat in the background. That's not a sound effect. It's an actual cat. So I guess we all kind of went our separate ways for most of it. Like, I know Jenny and I. Did you and I like separate at all? I think we kind of did all four days.
Joined at the hip.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of each other now.
I'll publicly apologize to Jenny and Michelle for being a dick some of the weekend.
He gets hungry and grumpy.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Well, so does Jenny.
But, so do you guys.
But the truth is I actually did like a completely separate con from you guys. So yeah, my con was like a completely there was one day that we spent together for like half of it. And the rest of it, I was in completely different places.
So same thing with Rory. Rory.
I went places y'all don't even know. Yeah. Y'all didn't even know they were at the con.
Yeah, that's true. Some stuff that it's you. Well, actually, do you kind of just come off like as a pedophile when you're hanging out these places? Just a bunch of little kids.
I mean, there really are a bunch of little kids. Especially in the Nintendo lounge. Like, there's beanbag chairs. And it's just like, I want to sit on the beanbag chairs, but that'll just take me to a whole new creepy level. So yeah. I can't. I'm not allowed.
Well, you could hear that all the video game stuff and all that. You can go to our third episode. But all right, let's talk about movies. We'll start off with Thursday. First thing we saw.
We saw a bunch of shorts.
We did.
Which was pretty cool, actually, because I don't know how many you'd seen. I'd only seen Paperman.
Me too.
And that was at the beginning of Wreck-It Ralph, I believe, in theaters.
That's such a good. It was a good short. God, I love that short.
You can still watch it and you tear up.
Oh my gosh! Every time. I know we're gonna talk about cosplay later, but there were some really good Paperman cosplays.
Yeah, I saw one.
Some really cool ones. So I was impressed. Those cosplays really impressed me, actually. But we'll talk about that later.
Other than that, some of them were. They were okay. There was one that was really cool just because of the art technique that they used called Pinhole. It was just it was called the Pinhole.
That also sounds like a porno, but
is it Pinhole or Pens?
Is that where it makes it look like the shape of something behind? No, you're
looking at me. It's like where crazy. It's where they have like a white sheet of paper and they put pens through the paper,
uh-huh.
and wherever the pens go through, that's where the shadows are. And so it's like it looks like pointillism. Paintings, and so it's black and white, but the more you know pens there are, the darker it is.
Yeah.
So it'll be like spread out. The more they're spread out, the lighter it is, kind of things.
Interesting.
And so, it's all like stop motion too.
Mm-hmm.
It's stop motion, so it's like
who did these shorts? Were these just
they're
like
from around the world? And well, here's the thing: the guy came out, and I think this was their second year doing this. They said.
I think so, yeah.
And they put it in the big hall, Hall H, and I think the reason they did that was to kind of bring more awareness to like this guy kind of hosts this thing where he travels all over, I think the world, but I know the U.S. for sure. And he kind of goes and he does these like festivals of all these great short animated films.
Okay, so were all of them animated?
All types of animation too. Some were almost like special effect animation stuff.
Yeah, just special effects. Right.
Yeah, so it was all different types. So it was really interesting. Some of them were really artsy. And I mean, if anybody, for the normal listeners, for the usual listeners, you know how I love slow things. But some of the stuff was like weird like German expressionism, but in animation. So it was really hard to watch, and especially like, I mean Thursday was okay. It was like our first day, so we had a little bit of energy. But I still was kind of like, oh man, I wish I could just take a nap here. And you know,
some of them
were really good. Like Peter Man again, we had seen, but that was really good to see again, especially like with a big crowd and kind mm-hmm. of.
Everyone had seen it, so they were all like cheering for
and
it.
And Hall H, all this stuff, unless otherwise specified, is Hall H.
Yes, it did win the Oscar. It was the first one in a really long time that Pixar and Disney had won a short film.
Oh, okay.
Oscar is what the guy was saying.
Yeah, yeah.
The other one that I want to talk about.
The segment was called, and I think you could find them online. It's called the Animation Show of Shows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
So
you can find all of them. And
yeah.
We won't go through every single one of them because there were about 10, but there was another one that I personally really liked, and I think you really liked it too, that you should definitely go look up on YouTube if you can. We actually posted it on our Twitter page, maybe on our Facebook page too, but it was called The Centrifuge Brain Project, and it was so awesome. It was hilarious and almost made you believe it at first. You're like, it kind of looked like a documentary, but it was obviously a mockumentary, but it was really funny. And if you have a chance, you should definitely go watch it. I don't want to give anything away too much. It's short. It's only like 5 minutes.
And it's really funny. Like it's entertaining. And you know, at first you're like, am I watching a documentary about, you know, carnival rides?
Yeah.
And then once it started going, it was really funny. So,
I do feel like we should say, cause you did mention it, for people who've never been to Comic-Con, what Hall H means.
Yeah. I was going to say that.
Yeah.
So Hall H is the biggest hall they have there. It seats about 6,500 people. Every year the line keeps getting kind of worse and worse.
You have to get there early and earlier and earlier. Yeah. And usually it's the movies primarily are in Hall H, and TVs primarily in the second largest room, which is called Ballroom 20.
Yeah.
So when people say, the Hall H line sucked, or you see it on Twitter all the time, Hall H line, I'm stuck in the Hall H line. That is the largest hall in all of Con. And it's 6,500 is a lot of people, but when you have 130,000 people at Comic-Con, you know some people who want to get in are not going to get in. So that's when we say that right now what they're talking about is all these things that were happening at Hall H on Thursday, which is the largest hall. Okay, just wanted to throw that in there.
Yeah. I was actually wondering, since I only did Hall H Saturday, how bad was the line Thursday,
no one was in line.
That was because everybody was in the line I was in.
Yeah.
Nobody camped out for Thursday.
Everybody just walked
in
Thursday.
The other thing with Thursday, this is how it was last year too. The other thing with Thursday is that a lot of people haven't been able to get their badges yet because they get them on Thursday morning. But we got to go Wednesday night for preview night, but a lot of people don't get preview night, so they don't even get a hotel Wednesday night. They just get a hotel for Thursday. And so they have to wait in that line first to get their badge.
And we'll talk about the long line on that night, Wednesday night, when we talk about TV, because that's where the line was.
So Thursday, it's a short line. You kind of walk in and pretty much.
It ended up, at the end of the day, it was full. By the animation time, there was barely anybody there.
Yeah. So that was the first thing we saw was the animation thing. Mm-hmm. And then next thing we saw was Europa Report. And that is... shit. Someone's going to yell at me. I know who it is. It's going to be Brian Fnifter. Europa,
hi, Brian.
Europa is the... Was it one of the moons of what?
Jupiter. Europa is a moon of Jupiter.
Yeah.
It still is.
It still is.
There wasn't like a Death Star come by and blow it up.
Pluto.
Yeah. And so basically it's a movie kind of done again in like the documentary style. And it is it stars Shirito Copley. Fuck, I always forget his name. The guy from District 9. Shirito.
Oh, he's good. I like him.
And it's about these space explorers that get to the moon, and you know, they had a bunch of like guys from JPL, the Jet Propulsion Lab.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh,
and
nice.
They talked about how they really collaborated a lot with these guys, with the filmmakers.
Sure, good.
Yeah, and how really they kind of showed like even like a diagram and stuff like that about how really there's more that moon has more water than Earth does.
That's the one. Is that the specific moon that they think could possibly have life?
Yeah. At this point, it seems like that's the only place that they think could possibly have alternate life.
Alternate
life.
Yeah.
It's
the only one
in our solar system.
Yeah.
Yeah. They found pictures, and a bunch of the surface is covered in icebergs, and so underneath the icebergs is a bunch of water.
So they
I mean, other than Mars, because we know there's Martians. They just are good at hiding from the camera.
Wait, so there's water on it now?
Yes.
As opposed to Mars, looks like it may have had water.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Europa, it just covered in icebergs, but if you dig deep enough, it's a vast ocean that's larger than all our seas and stuff. So
that's our best bet if we fuck up.
Yeah. So basically, and so the movie it's about these space explorers that go and dig into Europa, and they may discover creatures underneath. And it's kind of like a horror type movie. And it looked pretty cool. It just one some of those movies like you're like.
You kind of know where it's going to go.
And I'm like, well, and especially I'm kind of done with like the found footage thing. And that's kind of what it is.
It does have that found footage.
I'm a little tired of that as well.
Yeah. I mean, even though like the cinematography is really great, and how they did it is like all the cameras that are on like the probes and the ships and the suits. But it's still kind of.
It's still found footage. Yeah.
All right. And then next we did a panel called it was by Entertainment Weekly, and it was the Visionaries. And it was three really great directors. Well, two really great directors and one okay one.
Oh, come on.
Ricardo.
Well.
He's like, but you have to guess which one. Yeah. So okay one. He's like,
so it was Edgar Wright, director of like Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. You know them.
And the current one.
Scott Pilgrim also. Yeah.
Scott Pilgrim.
Mm.
And then it was Alfonso Cuarón, the director of Children of Men, Y Tu Mamá También. And,
one of the Harry Potter,
Prisoner of Azkaban. Great Expectations. And he's directed it already, but he's a director on, Gravity, new movie coming out this fall. And Edgar Wright, of course, has, what is it?
The World's End.
And then the third director was, Mark Webb, who directed 500 Days of Summer. He does a bunch of music videos, and he also did The Amazing Spider-Man. So,
and his one coming up is Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So they all have one coming up.
Yeah. I'll admit, like 500 Days of Summer was pretty amazing, and you know, it just he has two movies, so I don't know why he's in that panel. He's not. I mean,
someone who creating 500 Days of Summer. Yes, he's a visionary.
Yeah, I guess
because that was a different movie, and he filmed it in a different way. So, yeah, I would call him a visionary. I'm not saying Spider-Man makes him a visionary, but I would say
to be honest, out of all the directors, you want ones that are pretty different, and all three of them are really different.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it kind of worked well.
Yeah, and they kind of talked about like their work and.
It was funny because they all like had people on their crews that were the same, so they were like, yeah. "Oh my god, yeah, you know that guy." So it was like they were meeting each other and like secret, like having small conversations while they were doing the pan. They're like, "Oh yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. He did this thing for me," and they're like joking around. So that was pretty cool. I like seeing that because that means that they like have worked together or they could or
yeah.
They support each other.
Yeah, and they all have movies that I am interested in seeing. So it wasn't directors that I'm like, I don't care for the next movie or anything. But
yeah,
and we'll get to talking more about each of those films when we saw, because we saw each of those panels. We saw the World's End panel, we saw Gravity panel, and then we saw
Amazing
Spider-Man 2 panel. So we'll talk about a little more of those films when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
The next we saw Ender's Game. Well, first it was
Divergent.
Yes,
which I had never seen or heard about this book at all. Yeah. I don't know anything about it.
Neither.
So Michelle, it was kind of interesting. You know,
I have not. No, I've actually not read Ender's Game either. So I'm in.
Well,
the dark.
We have Divergent too.
No, I haven't. But I have read Ender's Game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all Divergent, all of them.
I mean, yeah, all of.
Isn't this the panel where someone got up for Divergent and asked an Ender's Game
yes.
question? I heard about that.
Yes.
And Chris Hardwick was like, "What?
Oh,
are
y'all
you doing?
Had Chris Hardwick?
Yeah, Chris Hardwick moderated this panel.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Best moderator at Comic-Con. Yeah. Gosh, he's got a
he
job
should
for
do
life.
The whole thing.
Be it everywhere at all the time.
The other ones I saw have like they can't have no personable skills at all.
Yeah.
Chris is good at it. He's good at what he does.
They get like internet bloggers and you know broadcasters, but and you know like print journalists and stuff. But I feel like most of them don't have personalities. I'll say it. Fuck it.
Yeah.
So I feel like they should just get like some of the best podcasters. Like I think Mark Maron should be doing some of these.
Oh, he'd be good.
I think Adam Carolla should be doing, though. I think he'd go on rants about his like his personal life. But I think like so Chris Hardwick, Mark Maron. I think Jay Moore should be doing some stuff.
Sure. I lean towards the people that are comedians tend to do very well because they're used to audiences. Chris knows how to handle.
They also roll with the horrible audience questions.
Right. I mean, like Chris handles the audience Q&As better than anyone else. Like he really knows how to handle it. When it's a stupid question, he knows how to deal with it.
And
you don't lose interest.
Yeah. So Divergent.
They're both to be honest, they're both young adult books.
Yeah.
I think Divergent actually is a series as well. I don't think it's just it, or if it's not a series yet, it's I think it is. I think she said it's a series.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
But they're very young adult, very like Twilight-esque kind of, also like Hunger Games. You know, you can
young,
tell like
young
it's,
cast.
Yeah,
hot,
young cast,
young hot cast,
and easy to understand.
Okay.
So, I personally think that I would probably enjoy, like I just started reading Ender's Game because I want to read it before the movie and I knew it was going to be easy for me to read. I'm not a reader. But I also,
it has big words.
I also think I could actually like Divergent. It's kind of that simple reading that is easy for me to get through and I would probably enjoy it. So, Divergent
what
was
is
kind
Divergent
of
about?
So, here, I'll read you the synopsis.
Okay. Okay.
It's set in a futuristic dystopia.
Of course, it is.
A teenager seeks to break free from her homo. I have a hard time with this word. It means the same. Homogeneous. Fuck, dude. Thank you. Thank you for saving me. Society that is divided people based on human traits. So, basically, I think they said that there's five human traits like.
Bravery.
But,
I don't know.
But it doesn't make sense. For me, it was a movie that I have no interest in watching.
So it's like they divided society based like, here are the brave people. Here are the smart people.
Yes. Selfless, peaceful, honest, brave, and intelligent.
So it's like Harry Potter, you know? It's like the Gryffindors are over here. The Slytherins are over here.
Yeah. And
I'm a Hufflepuff, just so everyone knows.
The only thing that for me was my interest was it's directed by Neil Berger. And he really did a good. I know everybody loved The Prestige a little more, but he did the other magic movie called The Illusionist with Ed Norton.
I like The Illusionist.
In 2006, he also did The Lucky Ones, Limitless. So He's an interesting director, which you know, I'd be curious to see. You know,
and the main girl in is Shailene Woodley.
Oh yeah, from Descendants.
Woodley, sorry,
from the Descendants.
Yeah, and Kate Winslet's in it. Theo James, Ray Stevenson,
Mackay Pfeiffer, Maggie Q.
Ashley Judd.
I like Mackay Pfeiffer a lot. Mm-hmm.
Tony Goldwyn's in this too.
A bunch of new kids.
Yeah,
of course, and they're all hot.
They're all trying.
Oh, and what's his face? Kravitz's daughter,
Zoe Kravitz.
Zoe, she's in it too.
Interesting.
So you know, a lot of these young adult books are wanting to be the next Twilight. So you know, good luck for them.
Yeah, they're all gonna fight over it.
Yeah. And then the
movie, going to Ender's Game.
Ender's Game. Why don't you give us a little synopsis, Rory?
Ender's Game is it starts in the future. But there's already a past for this book where aliens have invaded. Oh, sorry. I got to be on the mic. And so the humans barely survived the first time the aliens attacked. And so the whole point of the book is they're training generals so they can win the next time they fight the aliens.
But they're training them at age like 6. Well, that's when they're starting them.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
He was getting to the, that was
sorry.
I was building it up.
I thought you were done.
Twist. They're kids. And there's a school. The school that they actually go to is out in space. It's a space station. And they do all their training in there. There's an awesome training room. And it just... They totally brutalize these kids and mess up their minds to build them into these fearless, emotionless soldiers.
Yeah. And this movie is... Oh, this one scares me. It's adapted. It's of course it's adapted from the book Ender's Game by Orson Scott Carr, but it's adapted for the screen and directed by a director I'm not too fond of about. Gavin Hood. He did, for the people who don't know who he is,
Wolverine.
Oh,
and
no.
Then he did a foreign film that won the best foreign film Oscar that I fucking hated, called Tootsie.
Oh yeah.
Billy's Harrison at the Q&A?
Yeah, he was.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So,
this was the first time he'd been at Comic-Con.
Harrison Ford?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, because he hates coming to things like this.
Yeah. There's a reason.
Because he is a grumpy old man.
Yeah.
So let me read you the cast. Abigail Breslin, Haley Steinfeld, Harrison Ford.
Aja Butterfield.
Yeah. Aja?
I think it's pronounced Aja.
Aja, yes, yeah. Correct.
Ben Kingsley, Viola Davis. So those are just some of the people in it. So it does look interesting. I like the footage. I'm just the director is what scares me. I haven't been a fan of any of his films.
Is it supposed to be PG-13?
Yes.
See, I wish it wasn't.
You want it R?
I feel like it could. I feel like a lot of these that are like that deal with kids fighting should be R.
Yeah,
but they're
not
because they have kids in the main.
And they want kids.
They want
to sell those tickets.
Just like Hunger Games. Hunger Games should have been R, but
I agree.
It was PG-13, so that sucks.
And a little quick thing, we'll get into some weird. All right, so a lot of the big thing is about Orson Scott Card's views on.
You know, I don't think we need to touch on it. Well, I think everybody knows what it is, and we don't. It's not something we need to get involved with.
I do
want to
say what Robert Orsi said, which is kind of my thought.
Okay.
And I like it. Robert Orsi is one of the producers on it. He wrote Transformers 1, 2, and, well, it's not
Star
a good
Trek.
Thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Robert Orsi. And he said that's one of the questions they asked in the panel, you know, about, you know, a lot of people want to boycott this movie. And what he said is you shouldn't, he's like, the percentage of people that have that thought is not even 1%. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's one dude who wrote the novel, but you're talking about all these hundreds of thousands of people that have worked on the movie that have opposing thoughts, you know? So I don't, that his thing was like, why are you punishing, you know, all the rest of the crew, you know, marketing people, crew people, all the rest of the people that don't have the same thought as Orson Scott Carr. Why are we punishing them for, you know,
right. It was the whole take the artist away from the art, separating the artist from the art.
Yeah.
Deal.
So. Yeah, and if anybody knows Robert Orsi, he's pretty darn liberal, so
there
you go.
So
they're doing a
Ricardo,
whole,
have you read the book?
I haven't.
So no one's read the book?
No. We haven't
You're
read
the
it.
Only one.
There is a, I'm sure you've heard there's a significant twist in the book.
Yes.
I didn't get to see any of the Ender Game stuff. Did they reveal any of the, like, I've heard that it
what's
kinda
the
they kinda
twist?
Give
no,
it away.
No, well, don't tell the twist.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you shouldn't say the twist. We're not gonna say the twist. So I don't know what the twist is. I know there is a twist because Kevin told me that there is a twist, but I didn't ask him to tell me, and I didn't see a twist.
How did Kevin react when he saw it? Did he see it with y'all?
I think he might have.
Yeah, he
saw it. He saw it. Yeah,
he
saw it.
Did he seem upset? Like they like ruined it?
No, he didn't seem upset. No. So that is Ender's Game. All right, and that concludes that was basically the end of Thursday.
Wasn't that just the start of Thursday?
No, that was all of Thursday.
Yeah, that's all of Thursday. Yeah.
For film.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What was
it? We left after that. The next thing on Hall H was Dexter. I didn't stay for that.
Oh, I didn't stay for anything else.
Yeah, I missed the last season of Dexter, so
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah,
we didn't stay for Zero Theorem either, so yeah. I don't know anything about that.
Oh, okay.
All right, that brings us to Friday, second day, full day of programming panels. And we start off the day. Kevin and I got there.
And thank you to Kevin and Ricardo for getting there bright and early so Jenny and I could join them in line.
We got there at 2 in the morning on Thursday night. I guess it was technically Friday. Yeah,
that's early Friday morning.
Yeah, sorry. We got there at 2 in the morning and then we took a little nap. And then, Jenny and Michelle joined us. And we start off the day with the World's End panel with Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, and Nick Frost. So, I'm pumped for this movie.
Yeah, if you don't know, it's part of the Cornetto trilogy. That's the with Hot Fuzz and Shaun of the Dead, and the reason and they're not really a trilogy in the fact that it's not the same characters, but they just have same themes, which I thought was very interesting. Simon Pegg said the important things to them was that all these movies take place in Britain, that they have British actors, and that they have the general theme about friendship.
Yeah,
and so he that's tries what to makes jump a fence.
Right. Every time.
Well, and the reason they're called the Cornetto trilogy is because in each one of the movies they eat what is equivalent to like a crunch cone?
drumstick. Yeah. It's called Cornettos, British ice cream.
And in each movie they're eating it. So he's like they're Lucy. That's what people start calling them. So they went with it. So all right, what did you guys think? We'll start off with Jenny.
I love the first two, obviously. I'm obsessed with Edgar Wright, Simon Pegg, and Nick Frost. And I love all of their cameos that they put in all three. So I'm really excited to see this. I wish I could have already seen it because they were playing it all weekend. Yeah. And I missed every single chance. Mm. So I wish I'd seen it. But we have to wait like another month to see it.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
And everybody I know who's seen it has said it's awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a little bit grittier just because I think that actually Shaun of the Dead's pretty gritty. It's got a lot of fighting, but I feel like they're going to do, I don't know. I think they're getting more and more, like they're getting better and better each time. So I can only imagine this one's going to be like way crazier.
The way that Edgar Wright described it, I'll quote him. It says, if you ever watched a Doctor Who episode and thought, wouldn't it be great if the Doctor was hammered, then this movie is for you. And then Simon Pegg answered, yeah, our TARDIS in this film was beer. And I can say I'm very excited to see this movie. Although I guess Simon Pegg's character does not seem to be very likable as opposed to he was very likable in the other two. And this one, he's apparently.
I don't know if he's very likable in Shaun of the Dead.
But he's like, you want him to win in Shaun of the Dead because he's like the put upon British guy.
Yeah, but he like only thinks of himself.
Oh,
he doesn't do anything for his girlfriend. That's why she leaves him.
Oh, I guess so.
He's kind of selfish. That's why he didn't notice the zombies like the whole first 30 minutes because he was just worried about himself.
That's so great. I love that movie so much. I just laugh thinking about it. It's terrible.
So I really enjoyed it. Rory, you weren't there that day, right?
No.
You were off.
But I can imagine.
Yeah.
And the two of them, like Nick and Simon together just talking, I could just probably watch them talk for hours. They're so funny.
Yeah. You can really tell that they're really good friends.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
That's great. We're excited.
So, that was really, really fun. And they showed extended clips and like an extended trailer as well, which was really fun. You kind of see the tone of the movie.
Damn it.
Yeah. So that was,
we've seen clips.
That was just left the Xbox lounge for a little bit. Good
Lord. And then the next thing on Friday was the next movie was Kick-Ass 2 and Riddick.
Well, Veronica Mars is going to be a movie.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Veronica Mars.
Oh, yes. I was going to save that for TV, but no.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Should it be? Because I think it's supposed to be a movie.
Yeah, no, it's a movie. Yeah, it's a movie. So they, yeah, but since it was a TV show first,
I know what you mean.
It was really weird. The Veronica Mars movie, I'll be honest, I had never seen any episodes of Veronica
I've
Mars.
I've only seen the first season, so I feel terrible. And I know that everyone, and I loved it. I just haven't had a chance to watch seasons two and three because then they took them off of online for free and now you have to pay for them and I hate paying for things. So I didn't watch them the first time around, even though it really does seem like it would have been a show I would have really liked. The movie, it looked, they did show us a nice little behind the scenes video about the making.
Yeah. It's really fun to see the cast together too, because you can tell that they all really like working together and they're all still friends. And so I definitely have always wanted to watch it. I just haven't yet.
I feel like I can't say much because I don't know much about it.
Yeah.
Do y'all know if it like comes after the show?
We all know.
Yes. Yes. It comes, 10 years later.
It's 10 years. And
so
Veronica.
Like Arrested Development.
Yes. And exactly. Veronica is not a private eye anymore. She doesn't do that anymore. So that's where they start of the movie is 10 years later. And she's like a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Oh, okay.
Deal with that.
So there you go. But drop some knowledge on y'all.
It looked fun, and I had never seen any episodes.
And
so
I don't know what this
fun.
Means, but they told us that anyone that died in the show isn't coming back, if that helps.
Well, there was a girl who died, like, literally in the first episode. Amanda Siegfried's character is dead.
Well,
right
no,
away.
They
I
were
mean,
talking about
like,
a whole family. Someone's family, like, one of the characters' whole family died. And they asked if they were coming back, any of the last name people were coming back, and they said no. So I don't know if anyone's seen Veronica Mars, if that's helpful.
That
that's what we learned.
How many seasons are there if one's inclined
I think
to catch
it's three. So it's not hard. It's just that you have to pay for them now. Because they were like, oh, people want to watch this, and then they took them offline for free.
Off Netflix. That's what she means.
Stupid. Well, no, it was actually on the WB.
They were on Netflix, too.
Yeah, and they were on Netflix, and they were on the WB website, or CW, or what have you.
But now you can, you know, if you have Amazon Prime, I'm sure you can get them free. Yeah. Maybe. All right. So the next movie is Kick-Ass 2. The next panel was Kick-Ass 2 and Riddick. I've seen Kick-Ass 1, so I was pumped to see Kick-Ass 2.
I was really
Why
excited.
Why did I go that day?
Donald Faison. He came out and that was really cool. Yeah. I was excited about that.
And it continues the story. It is not directed by Matthew Vaughn, who directed the first one.
Yeah.
It is now new director, Jeff Wadlow. And I think he directed Never Back Down, which was like the fighting version of Step Up, which kind of scared me. Let me see. Director of, Never Back Down, 2008. But he also did a movie called Cry Wolf and, you know. So
and he wrote the script.
He came
in
as a writer first of all, and then he kind of got the directing job second.
And well, it should be mentioned as far as the script goes that none of the cast had signed on for more than one.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like they were all, any of the cast. None of the cast was obligated to come back.
But they all did,
and they all did. So that says a lot about where the script was that they were all willing to come back and do it.
And everybody's coming back. Aaron Taylor Johnson as Kick-Ass, Chloe Grace Moretz as Hit Girl. Then you have Jim Carrey as Colonel Stars and Stripes.
Well, Christopher Mintz-Plasse is also coming back
as the motherfucker.
Yeah, he's so funny. Yeah.
Did they do a panel for that one?
Yeah.
Did Jim Carrey come?
No, of course not.
Oh no, Jim Carrey's not. Yeah. That was the one. That's the big thing. Is Jim Carrey's kind of a jerk face about this?
I mean.
He knew what he was signing up for. I'm sorry. He saw. I'm sure he saw the first one, and he read the script before he agreed to do it. So I'm sorry. You knew what you were signing up for, idiot.
I mean, he had a change of heart, and he apologized for kind of throwing everybody under the bus. But
I don't know.
I don't hate Jim Carrey.
And
for
the people,
it's whatever.
The people who don't know, he basically Jim Carrey stars in this movie, and if you haven't seen the first one, it's really ultra violent. It's kind of what you wish some of the comic book movies would be.
Right.
Like, it's just rated R.
Absolutely.
People. It's kind of like how people really are.
People really
people
get
curse.
Hurt.
Yeah, people get really hurt.
You
and
know?
That's what the filmmakers were saying. That he's like, none of the superhero movies show you the real repercussions of getting hurt, of being a superhero. And Kick-Ass 1, I mean, he gets stabbed and he's in the hospital for like weeks, you know? Like, literally. And you see him getting hurt and stuff. So I really enjoyed Kick-Ass 1, and Kick-Ass 2 looks really, really cool. And if anything, I think... I know Jim Carrey kind of denounced this because after the whole Sandy Hook thing, he kind of was like, it's too violent and all this stuff. But I think, if anything, this is what he needed. Something very, very different from what he's used to doing to kind of jumpstart his career again. Because he's had a lot of flops lately. So
yeah.
I think
it looks like he kills it.
Yeah. And he's really funny and like a hard R comedy, you know, like for him is that's I feel what he needed. And hopefully it does well, even though he's not supporting it. I hope it does good for him, you know.
Well, I'm also, like I said, Donald Faison's in the cast. I'm excited about that. But I'm also really excited about John Leguizamo.
Yeah.
Is playing kind of like
the henchman.
Christopher Mintz-Plasse.
Javier. Yeah. I'm really looking forward to this. And so, all right. Anything else you guys want to add, Jenny?
No, yeah, I think it looks great.
Yeah.
And then, and they did show, we did see some footage, and they had some Aaron without his shirt on doing one arm pull ups.
Yeah.
And he had like a serious eight pack going on. He looked really good. So,
yeah,
he's grown up since the last movie.
That he's like Aaron Taylor Johnson.
He did.
They also showed a scene, which I'm they probably posted already, but of Christopher
Mintz-Plasse?
Yeah, doing the being, he's as motherfucker, giving everyone names. he's giving them all names, and it's just hilarious. He's like, oh, obviously she's going to be Mother Russia. And like, it was really funny. So I can't wait. He's great. And after him in This Is the End, I love him and everything. Yeah. Even more.
Yeah. And then so we have
Riddick.
Riddick.
Oh right.
Riddick is the third
in I like Pitch Black and I like Chronicles of Riddick both. Sorry.
I love Pitch Black. Chronicles of Riddick was hard to get through. It was just hard to sit through.
I was young when it came out, though.
I haven't seen them.
And I was inebriated, and I still was like, I should be able to.
Dude, that boss fight, though, was bomb. He, anticipated the teleport. Oh, yeah. I just like Vin Diesel.
I'm not
gonna
lie.
You're not gonna lie to us?
He's bald like Bruce Willis, so you can't fault him for that.
Yeah. Well, I don't fault him for being bald.
You can't fault him for being bald.
Picking bad movies.
I'm telling you, you can't.
Well, I'm excited for Katie Sackhoff in it.
Yeah,
Starbuck.
She looked badass. Katie Sackhoff played Starbuck in Battlestar Galactica, and she came out looking amazing.
Because she's Katie Sackhoff, and she's amazing.
She's easy in the eyes.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
And go look. It's funny. I forgot who was doing this. I don't know who was doing this. The moderation for this thing. But
I thought it was Chris.
Might have been Chris, but the first thing he mentioned was a Twitter picture that Katie Sackhoff.
Oh, I don't think it was Chris anymore.
No, it's been someone else. The first thing they mentioned was a Twitter picture that she had tweeted in the morning,
right before the panel.
Yeah, like her getting ready, and I'm like, what are they talking about? So I look up Katie Sackhoff's Twitter, and it's her sitting in bra and underwear. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
She's like, what should I wear today, guys?
She's so funny. Well, she has the body to do it. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
she's got a killer body.
That was ridiculous. The stuff they showed looked pretty cool, but
I really like that. What it sounds like is that they were having such a hard time making it that Vin and I don't know the director, they just like really fought for it enough to make it happen. And the fact that not only the director fought for it, but that Vin fought for it so hard makes me really feel like it's going to be something that like, I feel like probably with Pitch Black, he might have had a little bit of something to do with it because it was like his first one. So he wanted to make sure it was good. But with Chronicles of Riddick, he was already doing so much other stuff that he was like, I don't really care about this. But with Riddick, the new Riddick, I think he's going to have enough in it where it'll probably end up being good because he wants it to be good.
And
you know?
Who wrote it as a good writer?
It's the same guy. He wrote all of them. David, the writer-director of all three of them.
Wow.
The same guy. Yeah, it's David. I want to say his last name's Towie. But
I just assumed that Pitch Black and the second one were different people.
No, same guy.
They're so different.
Yeah, they are. He did Pitch Black. He did a movie called Below, Chronicles of Riddick.
Well, didn't he mention something that like Chronicles of Riddick was a studio film and that's why he feels like it wasn't as good as it could have been?
Is that
they had the studio involved?
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Pitch Black was an independent movie and now Riddick is an independent movie, so they don't have that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he did mention
that.
He wrote and directed a movie in this guy, David Towie. He did a movie in 1996 that I love and I think it went kind of under the radar. And not a lot of people I know saw it. I know like one of my friends, he's gonna be really happy that I mentioned this movie. My friend Brandon Strelitz, he loves this movie, and I think it's an amazing underrated film. It's called The Arrival. It came out in 1996, and it stars Charlie Sheen, believe it or not. But it's really great. It's a science fiction movie about aliens, and it also stars Ron Silver, and it's really really good. If you get a chance, you guys should check it out. It's really cool. If you like science fiction, you'll definitely like it. So we'll see what they do with Riddick 2. I'm excited.
He hinted at being... He kind of hinted, because someone asked him, he kind of hinted at Vision for Avengers 2 without actually saying anything, because he was like, oh, guys, you know I can't say anything, and but we have some big news coming up at the end of the month. This is exactly what he said. He was like, but we have big news coming up. And we were like, all right.
Okay.
Yeah, so, so he hinted at being the Marvel character Vision, so hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see.
That'll be interesting. And then that was it for... For those two movies, I forgot who was producing them, because they were together. So I don't know what studio that was, but the next panel we did that was movies was the Sony Pictures and Scream Gems movies.
Yeah. Okay.
What did that start off with?
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Yeah, I didn't see the first one. Did you?
I didn't either.
I did.
I've read the book. Yeah. Is that I does saw that the count? First movie.
How was it?
It was not great. I watched it with a girl, so it was okay.
Get closer.
Ryan. Yeah, sorry. I'm noob at this, so I got
no, it's all right. You gotta
keep telling me to do no. it. Yeah, so it wasn't that great. It was
but
okay.
Is it funny?
I want it to be funny because it has such a good cast. So you really want it to be funny.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the main character. That was the biggest thing. Really? He's just dumb.
He is. Yeah. He's not the brightest in the book either, to be perfectly honest.
But he's not lovable dumb.
No.
It's just like I had no way in the movie ever wanted to be that guy. Like no.
Well, the panel was fun because it was basically what's his name?
SNL
Bill
guys?
Hader. Bill Hader. It was
what's her face?
Oh god.
The girl.
We're doing a lot of what's her faces.
Chris Pratt's wife.
Anna Faris.
Yes.
I wasn't at this panel, sorry guys. Sorry. I can't help too much.
And the guy that's in
Hold on. I'm pulling up now.
This is great radio, guys. This is really good radio.
Oh, Terry Crews. Terry Crews. Terry Crews is in it. He's new to the cast.
So here we go. I'll read the names. Bill Hader, Will Forte, Terry Crews, Andy Samberg is in it, Benjamin Bratt, Kristen Schaal, Neil Patrick Harris, and Anna Faris.
The only ones that were there were Anna Faris, Bill Hader, and Terry Crews, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they're really funny on, you know. I always loved Terry Crews ever since I saw him for the panel for Expendables 2. He's like he's a comedic actor. Not like a lot of people think he's an action guy, but he came out and he's like flexing, and he's always like flexing his chest so it bounces.
Yeah,
like, 1-2, 1-2.
Pectorals. Yeah,
yeah. His pecs. He's a really funny guy. So that was fun. And the footage they showed, to me, it felt like, I don't know if it did for you, but it felt like cartoons on TV. Like it just seemed like it wasn't.
It doesn't make me want to go see it at all.
Yeah.
Trailer didn't make me want to go see it. This panel did not make me want to go see it.
Agreed.
And they expand on. I've seen like a trailer, and it's like they go back, and everything's just exponentially ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, and what's the point of the movie?
And each
I can't tell.
Each food becomes like an animal. Like it's like a crocodile watermelon, or what? It's like a It's like it was weird like that.
Yeah, it was like a whole new world of all food. But
and so, are they trying to fix it?
Yes.
And then by the end, they're going to decide they're great and keep them.
Maybe.
Probably.
and then the next movie on that panel was
Mortal Instruments.
Mortal Instruments. I have no interest in watching this movie.
I've read the book. Yeah.
But for the people who are, I apologize for shitting on your movie.
Sorry, the panel's boring. We've seen two of them now.
I know, we've seen
WonderCon.
Yeah,
right.
It's boring. It doesn't make me want to go see it. I'm going to read the books just because, of course, that seems like a book that I'll read and get through it. I have to learn to read, guys, and so this is what I'm going to read. Okay? Don't judge me.
The book...
Well, I'm glad
I did read the book.
I am glad Jenny got through Where the Wild Things Are. She had a hard time with that book. She finally got through it.
How many AR points was that?
Took her 2 months. She got through it. Now she's graduated to Mortal Instruments.
Mortal Instruments. Oh, Mortal Instruments. Yeah. Honestly, Mortal Instruments is better than Twilight. It is better written. The author can put a sentence together and knows how to use, a thesaurus. So therefore, it's better than Twilight.
She doesn't talk about how the characters smell delightful.
Whole time. And the girl in it is a fleshed out character, unlike Twilight. So there are things that make it. I mean, it's better than Twilight. It's no Harry Potter, but it's better than Twilight.
Yeah, yeah.
She's gonna knock something out of the wall.
No, it's all right. Let the cat run around. So, I just have no interest. The one nice thing about it,
yeah, I didn't listen to a single thing they said. That was the panel that I actually went to go to the bathroom during because I didn't care about it. But the one thing that I did like was that Robert Sheehan was there this time. And if anyone watches Misfits, then you know him as Nathan. And we haven't seen him around very much. And so it was nice to see him again. He's kind of just like Nathan. In real life.
It's a very pretty cast. It's a very pretty cast.
One of the guys that has the power.
Is he a good guy or bad guy?
I think he's a good guy. Right. He's got a power, I think. Whatever that means.
Whatever that means.
He kills demons or something.
Well, they're angels.
Okay.
They're angels and they can see demons.
With tattoos.
And yeah, they have there are tattoos. But they they're angels and people normally can't see them unless they want you to see them. Yeah. And you can't see the demons, but they kill the demons. They're keeping humans safe from the demons.
Anyways. So that's where that one is. And blech.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And then the next one was RoboCop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so.
Please tell me.
Okay, the footage they showed kind of was underwhelming, but that's how Judge Dredd was, so. Here's the thing.
Not Judge Dredd, Dredd.
Dredd, sorry, Dredd. Just Dredd, the remake of Judge Dredd. And that was amazing. And even Dredd got bad reviews when it first came out. But everybody that went to go see it loved it. And I loved it. Rory, you saw it.
Yes, you showed it to me, and I'm glad you did because I didn't want to watch it.
Yeah.
But it was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I love it better than the... Well, of course I love it.
But it's just a good sci-fi movie.
But yeah, no, I'm going to watch it again at some point. And I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. And so this new one is new RoboCop. And, of course, they couldn't use Peter Weller. He's really old. But what it has going for it that is I love the people involved. And I heard an interview with Michael Keaton, who kind of plays the OCP director in this one. Let me burp. Hold on. Excuse me. Sorry about that. I don't want to burp on the microphone. And the cast, so it's the cast, director, the writer, they're kind of my favorite guys that I've liked some of their stuff, most of their stuff they've done. So I'm really excited about this. And just the look of it, I'm really interested because it had like a very slight like District 9 type of feel to it, like that type of future, dystopian future. And so I'll start off by with the director. The director is a Brazilian director who directed Elite Squad 1, Elite Squad 2, and just those two movies alone, like Elite Squad 2, The Enemy Within, is one of the best, one of my favorite action movies of like the past 10 years. It's just really, really well done. It's about police official who's trying to bring down like the drug like lords in the favelas in Brazil, and it is just like action packed. It's got great story. So this guy is a great, great director. His name is José Padilla. And then it's written, the RoboCop's written by James Vanderbilt. And if you don't know who he is, he did The Rundown with The Rock. He wrote Zodiac. He wrote The Losers. He wrote the first Amazing Spider-Man. So he's a good screenwriter. So I'm really excited to see his take on the movie. And it did have a little bit of that like social like satire that the first one had. And like, you know. So I'm excited about it. And just the cast alone, let me just read you some of the people involved. Jay Baruchel, Samuel L. Jackson, Gary Oldman, Abby Cornish, Michael Keaton, Jackie Earle Haley, Michael Kenneth Williams, who is Omar in The Wire. So it's got a lot of cool people, a lot of cool actors. And the new RoboCop is Joel Kinnaman. He is from The Killing on AMC's, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So he's you know, it's a cool actor, and the footage they showed. What did you think of the footage, Jenny?
I don't know.
It was a little underwhelming, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean it was like I feel like I'll probably go see it, but this wasn't gonna be what made me go see it.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like closer to it, and I'll probably.
I feel like it was a really, really early trailer. Like they don't. I feel like they still don't know how to market this movie. That's gonna be really. It's probably gonna be like a really hard R, and it's gonna be ultra violent.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they know. It's the same thing with Dredd. They didn't market it right. And the only reason I saw it was because I just wanted to see Carl Urban. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I saw it. And this is going to be the same thing. And I'm really excited to see this. And I like the new RoboCop look. I know people didn't like it, but.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, it was fine, I thought.
His visor goes up and down. So his face visor, So at points he could lift the visor up, uh-huh. and you see his whole face.
Okay. But right when he gets angry or he sees something like going wrong,
like it snaps.
He snaps down like Iron Man style.
Okay.
And then he has his right hand's human. He has a human arm. But
is that a shooting hand too?
Yes.
Okay.
They explain why.
Yeah.
And I won't give anything away. Oh. Yeah. But you could say. I guess.
Yeah. That, I mean, they told us. Yeah. They want him. They wanted him to have a humanized part to him.
Yeah.
And so this was
This was a loophole that would get the government to let them put a robot as a cop, is if the hand was human.
So that he can shake. Do handshakes.
Yeah, and handshakes.
That's
and,
his handshake
and
hand.
And the hand doing the killing with the gun would be a human hand. So that's how they justify
it. I feel like that's certainly an OCP move.
Yeah, oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
how they sell that, making a RoboCop.
Yeah, yeah. And the way, like, Michael Keaton described his character, the OCP president, it was really interesting. And I think, like, it seems like it's a smart movie, and it just we didn't get that from the trailer.
Yeah, I mean the good thing about it is that they're making it seem like it's kind of really politically in its time.
Yeah,
like it'll work now because
all those things are happening.
It's all happening. Yeah,
they talked a lot about using technology in warfare, and that's happening now. You know, overseas and the wars we're fighting. And
so, just like you said, I think it's got an intelligent part of it that is really going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I think they're just having a problem with all these remakes. Like, how do you market a remake? You know, it's just like, how do you like dance that line without angering the people that love the first RoboCop? Because I mean, what dude doesn't love RoboCop? Yeah. And it's just like dancing that line.
I think as a filmmaker, you have to be like fearless and not care really. Cause I think that's what,
well, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the marketing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You don't wanna put stuff out there. I think they should do the viral thing. Like you were mentioning past weekend how you like the viral, like for the X-Men movie, they're doing the mutants, the Sentinels.
Like, well, that's actually kind of what it sounds like they are doing because the start of the RoboCop panel, they didn't have anyone introduce anything. They just like started with a video, and it was of Samuel L. Jackson pretending to be, you know, like a political guy,
like a Piers Morgan type,
doing a story on why we need these RoboCops, and so, you know, like he was doing like a commercial kind of thing. So I kind of sounds like they're trying to do that, and I think you're right. I think that would be the best case
that's
for them.
What they gotta do.
I think viral videos are like the best form of advertising nowadays.
Yeah,
like it just like even like I'm back when they started doing like Cloverfield, they were doing a lot of viral videos of like of like people in oil rigs kind of dying and like, you know, having accidents, and I like that stuff
because that was the success of that movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, was it, were all the viral stuff,
like that's why everybody I know went to watch that movie.
Yeah So this, I hope they do more of that, and I also think, like I said, with all the remakes, like you have to be like fearless and kind of do your own thing, and I think that's what I love about like the Batman movies, is that Christopher Nolan said, I'm just going to cherry pick the things I love. And, you know, if you don't like it, you don't like it. But I'm making a movie, I'm not making an adaptation of a comic book. I'm making a movie that has, you know, all the elements of classic storytelling. So the footage underwhelmed, and I was a little disappointed with the footage. But I'm really hopeful for it. So hopefully.
Okay.
Next.
Amazing Spider-Man 2, which was the best panel of the day by far.
Yep.
They pulled a Warner Brothers for the usual Hall H panels, where normally it's one widescreen screen in the middle that is just like a movie theater.
Yeah.
And then they have like some throughout because it's so big that you have to have some throughout as well in the middle. But what Warner Brothers did last year, which was the first time that they'd ever done it, was they pulled out the curtains on both sides to reveal two extra screens. And so it was like a dome. If you've ever been to the Arclight Dome, it was like that, where it was like really big. The first time they did it was last year. This time, Amazing Spider-Man did it. And it was interesting. It was a great way to pull you in. They tried to pull them. I mean, okay, I get Spider-Man's Marvel, but for this case, what I'm saying is Marvel is a separate panel. So they tried to pull a Marvel and bring in, make everyone like notice them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like say, this is the panel of the day.
Yeah.
Or whatever, which was great.
And it was,
really
it was.
Great.
It was fun.
And Andrew came out right as Spider-Man.
Well, they introduced everybody, first of all. They introduced like Avi Arad, the other producer. Mark Webb and
the kid, Dean. Yes,
Dean DeHaan.
DeHaan. He's playing Harry.
Harry. And then they said, oh, you know, we have a, what's his name, couldn't be here. He was running late or something.
Andrew Garfield.
And then he's like, oh, but we have a video. And they showed, like, Spider-Man, like, jumping over, like,
all the Comic-Con buildings. Get
the Gaslamp District and the Comic-Con building. And he finally, like, runs in. And it's, of course, Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. And the name tag on the panel said Spider-Man. Didn't say and so he did, like, the first, like, 10 minutes of the
He just acted like Spider-Man.
And people were asking, Chris Hardwick was asking questions to Spider-Man, not to Andrew Garfield. And then eventually they introduced Jamie Foxx. And Jamie Foxx, like, they must have pitched him the idea. Like, hey, Andrew wants to do this bit. Because he did the same thing last year.
He did the same thing. He came in as
Spider-Man. And
last year he came in as a fan yeah. dressed up as Spider-Man.
Yeah. And
he came and he asked him. He went to the Q&A. Like, he came up and he was like, I have a question. And with an American accent and everything. And then he pulled off the mask and he was Andrew Garfield.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
And so this time he you could tell Jamie Foxx was like, oh, and he even said, he's like, oh, we're doing this thing? We're doing this bit? And he was clearly confused as to, like, what the hell? And so he was kind of going with it. And like, it was really funny because, like, you know, quote unquote, Spider-Man was like, man, he's like, I love Django Unchained.
Yeah.
And like, he made him do the, you know.
And that's Spider-Man, too. That's why it works, because Spider-Man from the comics would do something stupid.
Oh, yeah. And it's funny and kind of quirky and stuff like that. And like, with attitude, you know? And that's how it was. Like, he talked, and then they said, oh, we couldn't get Emma Stone to be here, so we have a video from her. And then Spider-Man's like, oh, she's good. She's really hot.
Which is funny. The cool way that they introduced Electro, because everyone knew Electro was the villain, but Jamie Foxx hadn't done anything for it yet, except for a couple pictures. He hadn't done any interviews. And so right in the middle of the Emma Stone video of, sorry, couldn't be there, guys, the electricity goes out and it does a little surge thing. And then that's how they introduced Electro. So that was pretty cool. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, it was really
did
well
he
done.
Look badass?
Yeah, I think
it looks cool. Although I don't know what he looks like in the comics. I've been told it looks completely different.
He's not wearing the yellow suit. But he and then Spider-Man left, and then like 5 minutes later, Andrew Garfield came out.
It's like, sorry, I'm late, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
It was really well done. I think I like the tone of this movie. I think Jenny.
Did you like the first Amazing Spider-Man?
Yes, it had a lot of plot holes and a lot of things that weren't answered. Like, what happened to the guy on the bridge?
I felt like it was like they cut off so much of that movie.
Did he give up on finding Uncle Ben's killer? What's going on? He doesn't care anymore? But it was fun, and I enjoyed it. And this one, I like what they're doing because it's even darker.
Mark Webb's doing this as well?
Yes. Okay. And this one's written by Kurtzman and Orsi. So it's a different... And they, like...
So there's going to be a conspiracy theory involved?
Probably, yeah. So Chris Minorci, again, Star Trek guys, and it's interesting the story they said, like, the producers the producer had a kid, a son, and he was going to the same school as Bob Kurtzman's or Orsi's son. And they started talking about it. They were just talking, like, you know, like, they were just talking about parent stuff. And then the producer of Spider-Man said, Spider-Man? I think it was Orsi, and Orsi said, yeah, we'll do it. And, like, that was it. Like, that's how they got involved. But their thing was that they wanted to do something kind of different and different from even the first one. But still in the same that would fit as a sequel. And it feels, like, a lot more grittier. And like, even Jamie Foxx's character looks a little more serious.
I really like Dennis Leary in the first one, and I'm really bummed that he can't be in the second one.
Spoiler alert.
Well, if you haven't seen the first one, sorry, guys.
But all the footage looked great.
I'm really excited to meet Harry. Like, I'm so excited to meet Harry.
I love that kid from Chronicle.
Yeah. And they showed a little bit of footage of like of Norman Osborn, who's played by Chris Cooper.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see how they're not going to do the Norman Osborn, you know, Goblin, because he looks like he's dying. So I don't know how they're going to do it, but it looks cool. And some of the stuff, I think the effects weren't done, so they showed storyboards or some of the stuff just to link up like the full trailer. So it made sense.
Super old and dying. Well, maybe the thing helped if he does that, then he would be youthful.
Yeah. So, well, I'm interested to see how he does it.
Yeah, we'll see.
And like, there's also like rhinos in it. Paul Giamatti. So, yeah, it's.
Did they show that at all?
They didn't show Rhino, but they showed Paul. You know, Paul, the character. The,
right, but
the
they didn't Russian show him
as Rhino. No, as Rhino. No. But I mean, I've seen pictures on TV where.
And now we're saying that the Mary Jane character may be written out.
She wasn't there. I know she filmed it because I see how pictures of her.
No, they said
on
that
set.
They cut it completely. Because Shailene was playing it, wasn't it? And there was a big thing, and she was really upset, but they cut her out completely.
And it's just for editing
purposes.
They're
just saving it for the third movie.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
And then she said she won't do the third movie.
I think she was upset or something.
So then, I think she's scheduling.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That she couldn't do the third one for some reason. I don't know. Don't ask me. I wasn't her.
All right.
Well, probably because of Divergent. She's like, Divergent's going to be better than Spider-Man, I think.
Yeah. So
this is going to really set off my career, guys.
I saw one thing Friday night that was movie related. And I left them from Hall H. I was there in the morning. And then I went to a smaller room where they were going to be doing Orphan Black. So I saw a couple panels there. And I saw it was the Geek Magazine Star Wars roundtable where they got a number of five, basically fanboys and people that are actually involved in Star Wars in one way or another to sit around and talk about where they want to see the future of Star Wars now that it's in Disney's hands. And it was Kyle Newman who directed the movie Fanboys. Mm-hmm. And he is a staunch supporter, and I love him for this, of the prequels. And boom. Him and I, like, I know.
Wah-wah.
It's like him and I, we are on the same page on those. Steve Melching, who was a writer of the Clone Wars. Chris Gossett,
The Clone Wars.
He's one of the writers on that. And Chris Gossett, who he wrote and did is an artist for comic books, Star Wars comic books. Jonathan Rinzler, who wrote The Star Wars. He's also written The History of Star Wars, and he's writing a comic book now called The Star Wars based on Lucas's original draft of Star Wars. And then Sam Witwer, who is a actor in The Clone Wars. And they're all huge Star Wars geeks. So it was just basically like it was probably one of the most fun panels I've been at. They basically just sat around and said what they want JJ to do with episode 7. And Kyle had a couple good points. One of his first point that I really hope JJ sticks to is he feels like anything with a Roman numeral on it should involve the Skywalkers. One-offs should be other characters, but that anything with Roman numerals, so episode 7, should be Skywalker. And I hope that's true. He actually had another interesting, Kyle is he's a big Star Wars fan. I mean, he wrote Fanboys, so he's a huge Star Wars fan. And you know, really into the extended universe. And he actually said he hopes that JJ doesn't feel that he has to stick with the extended universe, that he could go against it.
Well,
and I think that's going to be
very, he's not doing that.
That Kyle thinks that should be the case because the extended universe doesn't always fit in the form of mythology that the original films fit in mythology. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, they're better.
Well, and then also the idea that that JJ really that he shouldn't try to put his own stamp on Star Wars. Star Wars is a specific genre. It's not just kids movies, but they're movies for everyone, for kids and everyone else. But they have a very certain style to them. They have that 1940s you know, large master shots, almost no close-ups, you know, that they all kind of agreed that he should really stick to that and not try to put his own J.J. Abrams, you know, lens flare on the movie, that it has a certain genre and has a certain look that makes it Star Wars.
Well,
and they all kind of hope that he would stick to that.
I think that he's kind of going the right way. I mean, he's already proven that he's kind of doing that by the fact that he doesn't do a movie without Michael Giacchino.
Yeah.
He hasn't done a movie without him, which is the guy who scores his films. And he's already gone publicly and said that he will not be using him for this movie. He'll be using John Williams. So
right.
Clearly,
oh, nice.
He's kind of sticking to, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, they all said that they would, that they felt that he was going to do that. Yeah. And they hoped that he listened to Kathleen Kennedy and that Disney would listen to Kathleen Kennedy and that they would still approach problems in the same way that problems were approached with the first Star Wars, which is you don't just throw money at them, that you actually use ingenuity to try to come up with new ways to do stuff. there was a lot of concern that Disney's involved, that it goes from being an independent film, really, because all of them were independent films, to being something with a studio. But I think that Disney's proven with Marvel that they can allow
step
that.
Step aside.
Yeah, that they can step aside. And then my favorite quote of the night came from Sam Witwer talking about the Clone Wars, because they did slightly discuss on how depressed they were that the Clone Wars got canceled. And he said that the Clone Wars, to him, was a cartoon funded by an eccentric billionaire who just wanted quality animation on television, and that he was really sad that it was gone. That was my favorite quote, that he was called an eccentric billionaire.
Cool. And this is the CG new Clone Wars?
The Clone Wars cartoon. The one that just got canceled.
Oh, okay. Just got canceled? Yeah. There was one before that one, and it had like a season and a half.
Yeah.
It was even better.
Really?
I wish they had. Have you seen Samurai Jack?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was that same animation style.
Yeah.
Maybe even the same person. I don't know.
They said George loved doing the cartoons. Like, he would come to every meeting, every writer's meeting, and like was like just loved being involved with it. So I don't know. Everybody's really upset about that.
Cool. All right. And then the last thing we saw on Friday was it was a thing for Through the Never, Metallica, with Metallica. The panel was called At the Drive-In with Metallica. And they talked about the 3D, the 3D movie that Metallica made, and how they didn't want to do your typical concert movie, which is kind of boring and kind of, they're all the same. Like, there's nothing interesting about them. And how they approach the lady who does every time they want to do a big, like, IMAX movie. Anybody wants to do a movie, that's the girl they go to. And they approached her about doing a Metallica concert video, but that included a narrative, and they kind of had this like rarely like loose idea. And so they approached Nimrod, I think his last name is Antal. What's his last name? Do you know?
Antal.
Yeah. See? Good memory. That's a good one. Good pull. Nimrod. Nimrod's really cool. He did a movie called Control. Joy Division biopic, the other one, the foreign film Control. And he also directed Predators, which I liked. And
the second one?
Yeah, the Predators, the third one. The last one that came out, produced by Robert Rodriguez.
Oh, I never saw it.
It's cool. I enjoyed it with Adrian Brody. And Jenny and I stayed for that. That was the last thing that night. It's called Metallica Through the Never, the movie. It's going to be in 3D, IMAX 3D, and... is specifically filmed in 3D, so it looks really cool. Dane DeHaan plays Metallica's roadie, one of the roadies, and they ask him to do something, and he's got to leave the venue before the concert start. And they really didn't get into story, but he basically gets involved in the middle of like a riot between like street punks and like the police, and like a total chaos. And like,
oh, so he's a roadie.
Yeah, he's a roadie.
He's not some kid just going to the show.
No, he's a roadie.
Oh,
he's a roadie.
I didn't catch that from the trailer.
Yeah, he's a roadie.
Gotcha.
In the extended footage, it's more clear that that's who he is. Yeah. And I had read the interviews about how they talked about him. And it looks really cool because, he's in a van and then, like, he gets like, T-boned and, like, he has to find something and eventually he, like, runs out of gas. And it feels like the Scorsese movie After Hours where just, like, bad things start happening and it gets worse and worse and worse, and that's how it feels. But it's intercut with Metallica concert video, so which it's really cool because I love, and it seems like they're playing the hits, they're not, because there's no new material that they recorded, so it's not like they're recording concert video for the new music. It's just old classics, so hopefully it's just classics. But the songs we heard in the trailer and in the extended preview was all classic, so I'm excited about this.
It was a fun panel to go to too, because
it was a bunch of metalheads.
I have a special place in my heart for all those hardcore Metallica fans that are like everyone left after Spider-Man 2, obviously. Yeah. So everyone that had been waiting in line all day were all Metallica fans, because you knew that they weren't going to stay all day for that. So they all had their crazy punk Metallica gear and their like chain pants and like all this like piercings and everything and all this Metallica hardcore shirts. And it was they just are so awesome.
And
I just love being around them. And Tony.
Tony Dang.
Oh my goodness.
And so it was so funny is that I went to the bathroom right before this panel started, and I was in the bathroom and the urinal using is really close because the bathrooms get really packed. So a line starts forming. And now I was really close to where the line started forming. And I'm like, something smells funny, like BO. And I look over the wall, and it's this, you know, hardcore Metallica fan, you know, like the black pants, the Metallica shirt, the combat boots, the chains, the piercings. And he smelled really bad, like BO, you know? And I'm like, wow, this guy smells really strong. So, you know, I'm peeing, and I'm about to leave to wash my hands, you know? And I walk past him, and there's a guy behind him, you know, like in his 30s, regular guy, jeans, t-shirt. And he taps the Metallica guy in the shoulder, and the Metallica guy, you know, turns around, and he's all, being hardcore is never an excuse for poor hygiene. And I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. And the guy just, like, he kind of, it's like one of those drop the mic moments where the guy just kind of went around him and just went to the urinal. And he's like, just wanted to let you know, take a shower, bro.
Like, no way.
Yes, it was the coolest thing ever. So that concludes Thursday. I mean, Friday.
Good Lord.
And we're down to Saturday, where Rory joined us for that day.
In the line at 11 o'clock the night before.
We got in line at 11
p.m. So basically, Jenny and I finished watching the Metallica thing on Friday. We went to get dinner.
Chipotle.
Delicious. Maybe Chipotle wants to sponsor us. I had a delicious bowl.
I love their burritos.
Half carnitas, half barbacoa.
I love barbacoa.
Visit your local Chipotle for delicious burritos, tacos. Mm. And if you're listening to this, tweet Chipotle and tell them you heard them through our show.
We're the ones that sent you there.
We're the ones that sent you there. Sponsored by Chipotle. No, not really. Hopefully one day. But yeah, so we went to eat dinner, and then we literally just went home, took a shower, and got back in line for Saturday's panel.
Yeah.
It was still, by the way, it was like Friday. What time was it?
Like 11.
11. It's 11 p.m.
Ridiculous.
And Rory joined us. It was Rory, the other, our other co-host on this podcast, Kevin Zuberbeer, Jenny, and myself. And
was Tony with you?
No, Tony didn't. He was out partying. He's like, hey, man, I'm at this hotel. Want to come
he
party?
He was partying.
He was partying all fucking night.
Oh, yeah. He went to, like, the Suicide Girls party.
Is
he
still wearing his Ash costume? Like, just trying to pick up some missies?
Yeah. He's wearing an Ash costume. And so we got in line, and the line was worse than Friday, and we got there earlier. So anyway, we slept out for that. And we're glad, because it was a really cool day.
Saturday's the big day at Hall H.
Saturday's the big day.
Comic-Con day I've ever had.
So let's get into it. I know you text me when I dropped you off on Saturday night. You're like, best thing ever, man. It's had so much fun. All right.
He texted me halfway through the day to say that he missed me.
That's cool.
Like, okay, Rory.
Only you would do that. I didn't. She's my girlfriend. I didn't text her the whole day. all right. So Saturday we started off the day with Warner Brothers and Legendary Pictures. The first half of that was Legendary.
And they pulled out the big guns again.
They did
the three screens.
The three screens.
It was Warner Brothers Legendary the first half, and then the second half was just Warner Brothers.
Because they got to be different.
Yeah. Because some stuff isn't produced by both of them. So we started off with
Godzilla.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
was that first or was Seven Son first?
Seven Sons was first. Let's talk about Seven Sons.
All right. All right. Whatever.
Mom, we don't. If you don't like something, you don't have to talk about it that much.
Well, Seven Sons was okay.
Yeah, yeah. Seven Sons.
It kind of falls into like that Aragon, that
Percy Jackson.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It just like, again, they're trying to get the next like franchise
series,
going.
Yeah.
It's like the guy's Twilight. Like,
yeah,
young
yeah.
boy's Twilight.
And
it looks. I mean, I'm gonna say it looks a step better than everything else in that genre, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this guy, what's his name? Jeff Bridges.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges.
Oh my god!
And he's basically playing this character in True Grit.
Yeah, I saw the
trailer.
And
Kit.
True
Grit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I saw the trailer. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, I know.
But you know, it's fantasy, and the clip they showed was like this creature chasing them, and it looks. It's going to be like escapist fun adventure movies. So,
from what I heard on The Nerdist, when Jeff Bridges was on there, he had a one of those leotards on the entire time, like with the balls all over it.
What? What balls?
Wait, like a motion capture
suit? Yeah.
Really?
From what he was talking about on The Nerdist.
Yeah, because it did have a weird look.
He did have a weird look, but he still, it was interesting. I don't know what they're, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. It's
a lot of CGI.
Yeah, yeah. It looked it looked like it's going to be fun, but not for me. That's not my type of thing. If you follow the books, maybe you'll
yeah.
Are you excited about this? Probably. I didn't read the books. So.
Oh, and Jon Snow's in it.
Jon Snow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know them.
Kit, what's his name?
Kit Harington.
Sorry, ladies.
Like, hello. I know who he is.
I know exactly.
Yeah. It doesn't. In the trailer, it looks like he's not in it for very much, though. I don't know how much he's.
They hinted that he dies.
Yeah, that's kind of what it shows. Is that he dies at the very beginning of the trailer.
And I don't need to see this.
But they're like, he's hot right now.
we gotta get him on here.
That kid, he's so hot right now. all right, so the next big thing which we all want to talk about,
yes,
Godzilla.
All right, directed by Gareth Edwards. He did a little movie with really small budget, but I mean really well done. I thought it was really well done. It's called Monsters. It came out in 2010. Again,
I need to see this. Monsters. I keep hearing about it.
Yeah, it was on Netflix a little while ago. Hopefully it's okay. Still there. But it's really cool. It's just two actors in the whole movie, and they're kind of stuck in Mexico. And these like weird like monsters, alien monsters, kind of appear, and you know they kind of have to get back to the U.S. But there's like a quarantine zone in the right through the middle of Mexico, and they got to go through it. And these creatures, they have to encounter a lot of these creatures, and it's really well done. It's really well done because the movie cost like it was like under $100,000. It was like cheap, and he did it all himself. And it actually stars one great actor that came out of that I discovered off of that, and he went on to do great.
You discovered him?
Well, I mean, I discovered his work there. Scott McNary. He went on and he did Killing Him Softly. He's in a bunch of movies, and he's just such a great actor. And that was in Monsters. And then, so Gareth started off with that movie in 2010, and right after that, he went into Godzilla, which is another monster movie that looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Could we all agree on that?
Yeah, that was my favorite of all day. Even with all the superhero stuff later, even with the video game movie that just blew me away, Godzilla looked the most impressive.
And so not only is Gareth Edwards in charge of directing, but then you have, let me tell you about the writers. So you have David S. Goyer, who you may or not like. That may be a negative thing for you. You know, came up with a story for Dark Knight, Batman Begins, Dark Knight Rises, but he only came up with a story for Godzilla. And the man who wrote the screenplay is one of my favorite directors, creator of great show that everybody loves, Frank Darabont. He did The Shawshank Redemption, The Green Mile, and he was the guy who brought The Walking Dead to television. So really, really, really great writer that you have. He did The Mist as well, which is about monsters. So this guy, great writer, he's involved in the Godzilla. So that's all you needed for me. But now let's talk about the cast, the people that are in it. So, Elizabeth Olsen, Bryan Cranston, Don, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Ken Watanabe, David Strathairn, Sally Hawkins. Who else am I missing? That's about all the big ones. So, it's like really great, a bunch of really great character actors in these movies.
One of my favorite stories that they told. So it was Elizabeth Olsen and Kick-Ass was there. Aaron
Taylor Johnson
and Bryan Cranston were the three actors that were there. And one of my favorite stories that they told was when they were filming in Canada, they needed to get filming rights or filming permits. You have to like explain what you're doing. And he was going across the country and stuff, so he had to
customs. When you go through customs, you have to declare whether you're there for business or pleasure, you know? And
he had to explain, like,
fake title.
Yeah, so you have to tell them what you're doing. And so he was like, well, we're doing
a movie called Compliance or something.
Something weird. Yeah, I don't even remember the name.
He gave a fake name.
A fake name. But the funny thing was that the actors were like, really nervous about lying to the government. They're like, I feel like we're going to get in trouble because we're lying about
the
name.
They said the truth. They put Godzilla in.
But
the director put the fake name of the movie, which was like, you know, Transcendence or some weird name that isn't Godzilla. Yeah, yeah. And then he kind of got stopped. He's the one that got searched at the border. And so
one of the guys IMDb'd him.
Yeah. They searched him up and they're like, are you directing Godzilla?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's what I'm here for. And he's like, you better not fuck it up, man.
Yeah.
And then they called another guy, another customs guy. He's like, dude, this guy's directing Godzilla. And he's like, dude, you better not fuck it up. And then he said how they just proceeded to tell him, like, what they have to have in the movie. Like, they were just, like, pitching him ideas.
His worst nightmare.
So that was, like, one really funny story. And then the next funny thing was when they're like, I think it was Chris Hardwick too. I wish it was Chris Hardwick all the time, but that was
Chris
Hardwick. It was, right? Yeah. Chris Hardwick was like, let's show him. He's like, Brian, you want to show them? And then Brian Cranston pretending to unzip his pants.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, the footage. Oh, okay. So the footage we saw was, we started off with the teaser from last year, which wasn't online. I couldn't find it online.
I don't remember it being, yeah.
Yeah, so, or they might have released it eventually, but the teaser they showed last year.
Or like a mood piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you barely saw a glimpse of Godzilla.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you could tell that it's the original Godzilla.
Yeah.
It's not
like
the lizard.
Yeah, like standing up, back legs, yes. Big old things on his back.
Yeah, so they showed that to show you the mood of and the tone of the movie. And then Gareth Edwards showed some footage. It was just one thing. It was just one scene. And it basically was an airport scene where we could say it was Mothra. Mothra
it had to be Mothra,
yeah.
Right?
And it attacks like this airport. And Rory, you could describe it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you're waiting for your plane and it's one of the airports. It's got the glass so you can see all the planes docking. And Mothra flips this one plane. It explodes and starts this chain reaction. And it just, oh my God, it just, the camera goes down the windows.
It keeps panning over.
Yeah, it's just panning down the windows with all the chain reaction. And it like cuts to the end of the docking bay. And it's looking straight at Mothra. And fucking Godzilla just comes up behind him.
Just all you can see is his foot.
Yeah, like Mothra is as big as fucking Godzilla's foot. Like the scale was just... It blew me away. Yeah. And then it just cuts. I'm getting nervous just like visualizing it again because it was so great.
And then they showed a couple of little extra scenes of like Mothra and that was basically it. So it was one scene and a couple little like snippets and that's all they showed, but that was enough. Like people were going nuts.
God, people were going nuts when they just saw Mothra because they're like, holy shit. They're like, because we had no idea he was going to be in it.
No, totally. And that was exciting. And it looks cool. I'm really excited about this. This was by far like the highlight of it because you got to see not only the scale of what they're doing because it's kind of like when they first showed Pacific Rim stuff last year where you really not a lot of movies like when you see Transformers movies everything's going so fast that you don't get to see the scale of the robots.
Yeah, exactly.
And in Pacific Rim, that's what I loved about it that they had scale. Like at one point, like in Pacific Rim, they have a huge boat that he's just wielding around like a club. And same thing with Godzilla. The planes and the airport gave it everything scale and not everything fit in the frame of the film. That's how much scale this thing had. So all you saw was a foot and it was bigger than any plane that was on the tarmac in the scene. So you could see how big Godzilla is. So that was fun. And then the next thing we saw was something that just fucking Rory lost his shit over. I've never seen you.
Dude, like those two in a row, like I couldn't breathe.
I was looking at you and I never seen you so happy yet disappointed. Because you were looking around for people too.
Okay, you know how people were videoing the people watching the Red Wedding? Yeah. I wish I videoed you watching the introduction of this trailer.
So they said we have a teaser for something that is not on the program, but we're gonna show it anyway. And they start showing it, and you can describe it, Rory. Describe what they show.
So it just cuts to this. They're in a desert.
It's a close-up.
It's a close-up of this guy in an armor with a sword in the desert. And he's, like, adjusting and, like, changing the grip on his sword. And he looks down, and he sees a corpse on the ground. And he goes down, and he picks up a shield next to the corpse. And as he, like, puts the fucking shield on his arm, it's like, oh, it's like an angle shot, so you can like barely see the front of the shield, but it's like got a blue background and a fucking lion's mane, and I was like, holy fucking shit, that is like the sigil of the Alliance. And for those of you who don't know, that's a little thing called Warcraft. And it pans out and you see...
No, okay, wait. Can I do Rory's... right when he sees the person, he's like... He sees just the guy and he's like, what is this? What is this? And then you see the
like,
shield...
Like
and
nervous,
go,
like nervous.
Like, yeah, like, wait, what is this? What are we watching? And then you see the shield and he goes, no fucking way. like so loud. Like, so there's a kid sitting in front of us that's like 10. He goes, no fucking way. And he's like looking around, like to see if anybody's noticing.
I was so disappointed. Well, nobody else around me was freaking out. And like 10 heads turn and look at me and they're like, what is it? What is it? Yeah. I'm like, it's fucking Warcraft.
Well, it's really funny because no one's getting it. Clearly, we're surrounded
by
people.
Rory is the only person getting it.
Well, the thing is that we were there with a lot of movie fans, but I'm sure they weren't Warcraft fans. A lot of work.
Or they
couldn't figure it out.
Yeah.
But for when you said no fucking way, and then you looked around like to make eye contact with somebody. You know that moment where you're like, dude, we love this, right? We love this thing. No one was making eye contact. Everyone was looking at you like, what the fuck's going on, dude? What are you yelling about? And everyone like literally, because the whole thing is silent. The whole room of 6,500 people is silent. And
but you could hear like scattered people going,
yeah. And Rory's one of them. But Rory was really loud because he started saying, no fucking way, no fucking way. and people around here are going, what is it? What is it? What is it? And he's all, Warcraft. And everyone's like, oh no. And the whole room just fucking like erupts.
And then it just goes into a
What was that creature they showed?
It was an orc.
Oh, okay.
It goes into a typical like Warcraft cinematic scene.
Like POV, right?
Yeah, kind of. Like it circles, it's jumping between their POV, circling around them, and then it ends with the classic orc's hammer coming towards the screen, Warcraft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you've played the games, that's like a classic thing they do. And so, oh my God.
And then
I want to hurt the mic. Sorry,
it's okay. Get really close.
Like,
you're not gonna hurt the mic.
You're not gonna hurt it.
It's and like then, I'm trying to do that it. And talk about Warcraft at the same time. It's
and
not
it's
easy.
Hard. We get it.
and then Duncan Jones, the guy who will be writing and directing it, came out. If Duncan Jones is the director of Moon and
Source Code.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Look at that.
Look at that. That bull.
No.
Source Code. Yeah.
I thought the guy. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, and Duncan Jones is also David Bowie's son. His real name is Zoe Bowie. So.
Oh, well, he changed his name to Duncan Jones.
He's like, I don't know directors or movies at all, but I was so hooked. I listened to everything that guy said. Yeah.
It's funny because it must be the first time where the guy's all, "Dad, I know you're really famous and I could probably bank your, but my name's fucking Zoe Bowie, dude. Gotta change it." Sorry, what was next, Jenny? And the Warner Brothers Legendary?
300.
300. If you like 300, the first one, you're going to love this one. It's just more the same thing. People dying, a lot of people having sex in slow motion.
Yeah, just so you know, the idea of it is that it's the same. It's happening the same time that 300 happened, but it's the bigger picture. So you're seeing the rise of Xerxes and how he came to be and like why he's fighting
them.
Is it Zack Snyder?
No, it's produced by him. It's a different director. I think it's written by Zack Snyder, though. So it's basically what he said is if 300 is a small part of the map, this is just zoomed out and you're seeing the bigger picture.
Yeah, I have no interest.
No interest. Well, I do want to see the sex in slow motion, but that's about it.
And Lena Headley's in it again, but she's playing a different character.
Yeah.
What? I don't know.
She's awesome. I'll see her
next. She's in everything Roman. She's got really that Roman talented look to her. Yeah.
She's good. She is.
Oh, yeah. I love
her.
And
apparently she needs money right now. So.
Yeah.
What? Why?
She's going through a really bad divorce is the thing.
And then what's the next thing?
Gravity.
Oh,
I'm with you now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, remember, like, you always show trailers. We have movie nights and, like, TV nights over here all the time. And Ricardo always shows us, like, trailers before we watch stuff. And I love it because it's trailers. Like, I get to go to the movies and watch trailers, but I don't have to pay for it. I just go to Ricardo's house. And he always, like, every time he puts Gravity up there. And I wasn't the biggest fan. But what I saw at Comic-Con, I now am, like, day one and kind of wanting to go.
And George Clooney didn't show up. I was really hoping for you guys that George Clooney would show up.
Sandra did.
Sandra
but, you know, that's
panel,
not...
Though.
I mean, she's cool, okay. But, you know, George Clooney.
This was her
awesome.
First Comic-Con, too, apparently.
Oh.
Yeah. But I could see, George Clooney's too cool for... He's like Frank Sinatra. Like, he's like... He doesn't dance for anybody.
He's like, I'm in Italy at my beach house. So
he's like, look, I just broke up. I'm trying to find another 19-year-old to fuck. So I'm way too busy.
I'm really
to show.
Busy right now, guys. He probably could have found someone at Comic-Con, to be honest.
I'm sure he would. Yeah. But Gravity is directed by one of my favorite directors, Alfonso Cuarón. Yes. He calls robots rabbits because of his accent.
Rabbits?
Yeah.
Rabbits?
He's like, we had too many rabbits. This one's written by Alfonso Cuarón and his younger brother, Jonas Cuarón.
It's his brother? I thought it was his son.
I'm sorry, his son. Yes, you're right. Oh, okay. His he usually co-writes with his brother, and his brother did like curtsy, really curtsy. His brother is also a filmmaker, but this is the first time he's working with his son, Jonas.
And he's been working on it for years.
Yeah. Because I mean, they're using space shuttles, which are now we don't use anymore. So they've been at it for a long time, and it's basically a story of it ends up being two astronauts. But I mean, the movie starts off with more than two. You could clearly see there's another guy in the background in that one scene.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so there's an accident.
I don't think he has any lines though.
He doesn't. No.
I think he just screams.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's funny because if you've seen the trailer for Gravity, the explosions, you hear explosions in the trailer. And he said that stuff, he's like, it's not in the movie. That explosions are not in the movie because you can't hear nothing in space.
Right. That's so
awesome. So it's even eerier when you see, because he showed a long-ass clip. And if you've seen Children of Man or Itumama Tambien, you know that he loves long takes. He loves long takes, especially like in Children of Man. There's a 13-minute take.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in that same vein. So if you like those type of movies, you're going to fucking love Gravity. The clip they showed was like a 5-minute clip, and it didn't cut. It was one single take.
I was tense the whole time.
And they eventually show like one of the explosions, but not hearing the explosion is even creepier because things are breaking and they're reacting to it like, oh, what? And nothing, you can't hear anything. And that's the coolest thing ever. And he talked a little bit about the technology they used to, you know, to film them in space, because to show like gravity. And he said the light source was really important, you know, where the light source was coming from. So what they did, instead of having her move, the actors move, they have the room moving. And the light source moving. So it's really weird, you know? And they talked about, like, this rabbit, or robot, as we know them.
As we
about how, like, this robot that moved her was really dangerous because he's like, whatever told Sandra Bullock was that it probably could have killed her because the way that moves.
Yeah. Like, the safety, they had a person on a button. And
to stop it.
The human's not fast enough to hit the buttons. Yeah. To stop anything that would have hurt her.
He's like, so it would have killed you. but yeah, they talked about how like it was really like hard to get them out of the suits. So most of the time they would just stay in the suits all day.
Kind of explain what the story is?
Basically, the story is
a Russian. They're on a spaceship.
Yeah,
fixing
the Saturn.
Satellite.
And a Russian satellite goes.
It explodes or something.
Yeah, it's exploding or going the wrong direction somehow, and it's coming at it really fast because it exploded. And so parts of it, debris from this Russian satellite are coming at the American satellite and slowly
taking down.
parts down.
Is this?
But they don't know it until now? It's too late.
Yeah.
Is this set now?
Yes, current time. Okay. Yeah. And
then they break off and they're stuck in space.
Eventually, it's two people stuck in space for 2 hours. Yeah.
Well, we don't know how long. The movie lasts 2 hours.
Yeah. So who knows how long they're out there. But it looks amazing. And
I hope 2 hours. Because
Rory was not in.
I was so skeptical.
But now with that one take.
With that 1 5-minute take, man, I was like, I could do 2 hours of that.
A 2-hour take?
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
All right. So what was the next thing, Jenny?
Lego movie.
Really quick. Just stop motion mixed with. That's what I liked about
actual
it.
Actual Legos?
Legos.
Yeah.
And CGI both.
The stuff that they couldn't do with stop motion, they filled in with CGI, but mostly just stop motion.
Other than like the actual characters, like everything is made out of Lego blocks.
Yeah,
yeah, so they use blocks.
Like in the new the cat Lego show now, they have non-traditional blocks and things in that show. But
and
this
that's
movie,
just cheating. Yeah. Let's be honest.
Exactly. So this movie is only going to have the traditional. Classic blocks building it. Mm-hmm. If you had enough time and money, you can make the whole movie.
Yeah, it's a great
cast. That's what
they
said. They're like, technically, if you have enough money, and time, you could make this movie.
Your house. Even the water.
Yeah,
like the water is blocks
made out of blocks. Yeah, and he said that it took forever to do that.
And a great cast of voices too.
Yeah, Chris Pratt's the main guy.
Oh,
there's Will Ferrell, and I can't even think. Of all the people. Oh, Elizabeth Banks, Will Arnett, Nick Offerman, Alison Brie.
Yep.
Yeah.
You have Will Arnett doing the voice of Batman.
Liam Neeson and Morgan Freeman, yeah.
And it's the guys who did 21 Jump Street and Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs, the first one. So, should be funny. So.
And there should be a lot of surprise characters because they couldn't say who else. Like, everybody wanted to know who else was in it. Lego
and they couldn't
style,
say.
And they
yeah.
couldn't say.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of twists and surprises.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
Somehow
about
it's going to be a surprise when we find out who plays the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that's going to. They're like, we can't tell you. We're like, what? You can't tell us whose voice is going to be the Ninja Turtles.
The only surprise would be if the original Ninja Turtles played them.
Right. I guess it's a surprise, whatever. Yeah. Anyways, but I think it looks cool. I want to see it. I like, my favorite part of the trailer, which everyone's seen already, is when they're shooting
things. Maybe the Ninja Turtles are girls.
Maybe.
That would be a twist.
Or like a boy band or something. When they're shooting the lasers and guns and stuff, they're actually using those Lego long, skinny orange pieces that they're using those.
Yeah,
and it looks so good.
I'm right there with you. That I'd laugh uncontrollably
when
they're dodging
my favorite part.
All those lasers.
Yeah.
So that was the Lego movie. And then what else did we see for Warner Brothers? Anything else that we saw? Oh, was it, right?
I think that's it. I can't remember anything else unless they just didn't list it.
Yeah. No, that was later on, I think, during... Oh, no. This was the part where Zack Snyder came out, too.
Oh, yeah. At the very end.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Zack Snyder came out.
Oh, and Edge of Tomorrow. Also was during this.
Oh, and that's Tom Cruise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, really?
Let's talk Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, yes, let's talk about Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow was originally called All You Need Is Kill, and it is directed by Doug Liman, who did Identity. I'm sorry, The Bourne Identity. Not Identity. The Bourne Identity, Jumper, Swingers. He's done a ton of movies. You know this guy.
Look him up.
Look him up. And it's written by Christopher McQuarrie, who I love. He did The Usual Suspects. He wrote the new Wolverine movie. He did With a Gun. Really good writer. So I'm excited about this. And just the panel alone was funny. So
you want to see this?
I want to see this.
Oh, okay.
Because of Christopher
McQuarrie. I'm kind of still iffy
about it.
Tom Cruise was there.
It was a fun panel.
Funny part was, okay, so it was Emily Blunt and Tom Cruise on stage talking about it, and they're both great, and Tom Cruise is fantastic with people. He knows how to work a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, in the middle of Tom Cruise is like just giggling about the... Okay, so the first thing is that he comes out, it's Chris Hardwick is moderating, of course, and he comes out and he's like, we have something in common, you know, and Chris Hardwick's like, what? I don't know what you're talking about. And but I want to know right now. And so they both played the same character in Rock of Ages, but Tom Cruise on the movie and Chris Hardwick in the original Broadway show. And so they started singing Rock of Ages songs back and forth, which is funny.
I want to know what love is.
Yeah. 80s music. And so that was really funny and fantastic and made you really love Tom Cruise even more like you needed to. And then in the middle of him talking about something, because he's kind of ADD a little bit.
Yeah.
But in the middle of him talking about something, he goes, Bill Paxton's in the audience. And so he makes Bill Paxton stand up and come up on stage. I don't know how he knew Bill Paxton was in the audience, but he knew. And so then they go back and forth and start doing aliens quotes back and forth.
Oh, well, Tom Cruise, I guess you could tell, like, you could tell Tom Cruise really likes Bill Paxton. Because you could tell, because he's like, oh, man, I used to do this all the time on set. He's like, Bill, do the line, Bill.
Yeah.
And you could tell, like, he's like, oh, this guy, Tom Cruise is always asking me to do the lines. He's like, game over, man. Game over.
Bill Paxton did his chat lines. It was great.
And then he made him do the weird science line, the greasy ashtray sandwich line.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that was really fun.
It was a fun panel.
Yeah, it was a fun panel. And, then what else was there? So that was that. And am I missing
the very
one?
And the very end.
Oh, the very end.
The thing everybody else freaked out.
Well, it's funny because even Chris Hardwick freaked out.
Yeah.
Chris Hardwick was a moderator, and Eddie Ibrahim, who's the program director of Comic-Con, came out and he kind of puts everything together. He handed him a note,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, and then so Tom Cruise and them leave, and he's like, oh wow, he's like, I have this note. Eddie just gave me this note, and he literally turned it around and showed it to the audience and the camera. And
there's a handwritten note on notebook paper.
And it said, introduce Zack Snyder. And that's all it said. And he's like, all right, so let's bring out Zack Snyder, the guy who directed Man of Steel. So Zack Snyder comes out, and he's talking about, he's like, I could officially say I'm going to do the second, a sequel to Man of Steel. I'm going to say it now. He's all, and I want, I want to tell you something about the movie. And this is the part that got, he was stretching it out. And Chris Hardwick, you could tell, was like, just fucking tell us. I wanted to know. He was sitting now where the panelists sit and just listening to
Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder was at the podium. Yeah. And Chris Hardwick was on the panels. Like,
and
the
he's like, just fucking tell us. And he's, and even Zack Snyder got him. He's like, just chill out, dude. and he's like, I could say, he's like, this is, we're not doing this story, but this is part of it.
He brought.
Yeah. He's like, we're not doing this story, which is. I'll tell you eventually right now, but this is going to be in the movie. So I could tell you that. And so he brought out the actor that plays the general in The Man of Steel. He was also in the Matrix. I forget his name.
I didn't know him.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
But he has a really good voice.
He has a really good voice. Really he was deep in Ray as well. He was, yeah. he played Ray's like manager. And he brings him up and to read something, and he's like, I'm gonna have him, he's like, this guy has a better voice, so I'm gonna have him read what I want him to read. And he pulls out, the actor pulls out a paper. The actor was Harry Lennox.
I want you to remember, Clark, in all the years to come, in all your most private moments, I want you to remember my hand at your throat. I want you to remember the one man who beat you.
And everyone just starts going nuts on the panel. Like nuts. And
What did Chris Hardwick say?
How did and, he react? Well, he lost his shit. That's what. Yeah. And, you know, it was a lot of like him holding his hair like, no, no. And if you don't know, that is a passage from Batman The Dark Knight Returns, written by Frank Miller. So that everybody lost their set, which means that Batman will be in the new Superman. So
I wonder who's going to end up playing Batman. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah. They showed Hammer? Really cool. Right after that was right
it cut
after
to black.
Yeah, it cut to black, and then when they pulled it back up, everyone had left the stage except for Chris Hardwick, and on all the screens was the usual Superman symbol, but right on the outside edge of it was the Batman symbol. So it was like
the new Batman symbol too.
Yeah, so it was like a mixture of
yeah.
The two, but yeah,
it was really cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, I was really excited about that because I thought the Man of Steel was okay. I didn't hate it like a lot of fanboys did, but I liked that it's different. What people hated about it, I didn't hate about it. But anyway, we'll see what comes of it.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
All right. So that was the end of that one.
Yeah.
Next one is
the Lionsgate.
Lionsgate,
panel.
Which. Kind of disappointing, but
well, yeah, really disappointed because all right, first of all, it was I, Frankenstein from the producers of Underworld. It's basically Underworld but with Frankenstein.
Yep,
Frankenstein's fighting demons, that's all it is. Aaron Eckhart stars as Frankenstein, a really good looking Frankenstein, and it's exactly like how I pitched it. It's the Underworld,
yep.
Like cinematography, the direction, the look of it, the feel of it, but with Frankenstein. Instead of lycans and werewolves. I mean, lycans and vampires.
And it's got the chick from Chuck and
Dexter. Yeah, Yvonne something. She's a really good-looking girl. And that's all I have to say about that. It didn't look interesting. I have no interest in seeing it. And the second movie was The Hunger Games, Catching Fire. I am excited about this because I dig this director. He did Constantine, Francis Lawrence. He did I Am Legend, even though I hated I Am Legend. But it was still well directed, and they showed an extended, like an actual full trailer of it. You know, you see more of all the additional actors that have joined the cast now, which include
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Which that's it. They had me at that.
Yeah,
because he kind of his scenes with what's his name?
Old dude.
The old, yes, Kiefer Sutherland's dad,
Donald
Sutherland. Yeah. We're amazing. They're just he brings so much like cred to the movie now because he's just such a good actor. And then I'm excited. I never read the books, Michelle, so I know there's like a water world type thing.
Yeah, it's like tropical.
Tropical.
Yeah, this
and I guess they filmed in Hawaii.
Yeah, yeah, and some in Georgia too.
It's actually interesting because in the first trailer that we ever saw for Catching Fire, which was I think last month or a week or a month before or something. They made it sound like it having another Hunger Games in it was going to be a surprise. Because they didn't show it at all in the first trailer. They just showed their victors and they're going to go on their tour and stuff. But she's also the Mockingjay.
It seemed more political, but that first trailer.
Yeah, this time they actually showed the... Yeah, and the interesting part was they showed her coming out of the shoot to start the Hunger Games, and she's like bawling, and you already know what it is, and it like already started making me tear up a little bit because of that part in the book. It killed me.
You read the book?
Yeah, I read all of them.
I read them too.
I mean, I it's funny because I felt like in the first trailer they were like, "Don't spoil it," that they were going to do the quarter quell, but it's like, okay, everybody knows.
It's like most it's like three quarters of the book.
I know. Is the like I Hunger think Games. It kind of you can't like it's it, yeah guys yeah. sorry they're going to another Hunger Games and Katniss is going. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I'm super excited about Jeffrey Wright and Jenna Malone. They're two of the newbies that were on the panel,
right.
And also old victors that are coming back to compete in the Hunger Games.
Right.
So I think that's going to be great. I think they're both going to bring a lot to it. We didn't get to meet the guy that's playing Finnick. He wasn't there, which I was really hoping he would be
there.
Because
he's a cutie.
Yeah, he's supposed to be interesting.
Well, you'd have to be.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
to play Finnick.
So I'm interested to meet him. This was my favorite book of the three, was Catching Fire. I loved the book. It kept me interested the entire time. I got through this one the fastest out of the three.
Yeah.
And
I agree. I think it's the best.
I love
book
it.
Of the three.
Yeah, it has the best story. Because I mean, the first one's more like it's introducing you to everything.
Yeah.
And then the last book just like kind of like
it went in a weird. It goes in a completely different direction. So yeah.
But it's really interesting. And they actually show in the trailer, they explain that, oh well, we have to kill her. Yeah. How are we going to do it? And Philip Seymour Hoffman's like, I understand that we have to do it. It just depends on what time. It's got to be the right time.
Yeah.
And so you already know, like, you completely know what the plot of the movie is, like, already. So it's not going to be a surprise at all, but...
I think most people have read the books. So.
Yeah, I think so, too. But so I was really happy with the trailer because I didn't need anything to be a surprise.
Right.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. I think it'll be good.
Even the CGI work looked a lot better than the first one did. It the world looked more believable to me.
The new battlegrounds where they're practicing to before the the training camp, I guess is what it's called. It looked really good.
Yeah. So that was exciting. I haven't read the books, but it looked cool to me. The first one was okay. It was directed by one of my favorite directors, Gary Ross. And this one, you know, we'll see. All right. The next panel we saw, which we'll skip, was Entertainment Weekly's Women Who Kick Ass, which was a boring panel.
And it's not that they are like sexist guys. I thought it was even boring, and I'm a chick.
I've heard that all around Tumblr, everyone was complaining that it was boring.
It was a filler. That's what it was just a filler.
They should have just had Chris Hardwick do
stand-up. The person was the lady from the magazine.
I think she's the same one that moderated the EW Heroes panel, which actually was good, but not because of her.
But
she was not good.
Chris Hardwick had come out and done that panel,
it could have been interesting. Yeah. Sure.
And the thing is that they picked two women who are really inarticulate.
Let's skip it and move on to the next.
Yeah,
let's
done. Do that.
Done. No need to make enemies.
It was entertaining. you're talking to 6,500 like movie fans that just want to see shit, you know, blow up and clips.
And talking about feminism and stuff is probably not going to go over.
They're still freaking out the Superman and Batman.
They're like, talk about, so what's going to happen in Superman and Batman? And they're like, we're not part of that movie. Tell us. Do you know Vin Diesel? Is he Vision? So the next panel we saw was 20th Century Fox panel, which started off with, do you know?
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Ooh.
This was my favorite panel by far.
That's a weird noise.
What was that about? This was my favorite panel.
I got some
by
hand
far.
Sanitizer while I was walking around outside.
You did
for this,
for the Planet of the Apes, the simian flu.
Is a simian flu.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Oh, let me see.
It's literally hand sanitizer to avoid the.
But it's really helpful because it is actually hand sanitizer. So thank you, Fox. I appreciate that.
Fox had great giveaways this year.
Yeah,
but we'll talk about giveaways later. We'll do that. We're doing that in a separate episode.
Yeah. So Dawn of the Planet of the Apes is a sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Different director, different writers for this one. And I like that. That's what I like about the Mission Impossible series is that it just brings a different life to it with different directors. And that's what I'm hoping for the Hunger Games, that it just brings a different style. And this one is going to be directed by the director of Cloverfield, Matt Reeves. So you know, I'm excited about that. He did Cloverfield, and then he did the remake of Let the Right One In, which was called Let Me In. Yeah. Yes. So he's a really cool director.
He's got a good visual style.
Yeah. And so I'm excited about that. That's the number one. And my favorite thing is the writers. It's written by which if you haven't seen Rise, what happened at the end is that the like simian flu is kind of spreading all over the world. And so this part of the movie is most of the world has died, and it's kind of the apes are rising. They're kind of taking over, and Caesar now has a family. He has a wife and a child. And it's about the humans kind of trying to survive, you know, this new world. And it's written by the guy who wrote Contagion, who's amazing, and which is about a pandemic. And it's Scott Z. Burns. And the other writer on it is Mark Bomback. He wrote Zero Dark Thirty, and he wrote the other one she did, the other Afghanistan movie.
Hurt Locker,
yes. So excited about that, and the cast of this alone is really cool. Mm-hmm. It stars Gary Oldman, Kerry Russell, Judy Greer as one of the simians, as Caesar's wife. Jason Clarke from Zero Dark Thirty, Cody Smith McPhee, Andy Serkis again as Caesar, a bunch of other character actors that you'd recognize, people from Fringe, Kirk Acevedo, a bunch of people. So I like the footage we saw. It just took place in the jungle, and it's yeah. Jason Clarke trying to make contact with Caesar to make possibly, you know, come to like peace with them. But it looked really, really cool. You saw scenes with Gary Oldman, Kerry Russell. So I'm excited. Any other thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah, no, I think it looks great. They didn't show very much. The funny thing with the 20th Century panel was that they went through everything really quickly so they could get to one thing in particular.
Yes.
So they didn't show too much. The teaser that they showed was really interesting, though. I liked seeing Caesar for a minute, and the whole, like, holding his arm up and then, like, all of a sudden, like, having the mall charge right at the right time. It looks like it's going to be good.
Yeah.
I like the reason, like, they didn't have any footage to show us of the apes because of how they're shooting it. They have Cirque du Soleil people, gymnastics, all these different trained people. They're doing motion capture and doing CG over it.
Yep.
And so that should make for really awesome, like, movement.
Yeah, totally.
Oh,
totally.
Yeah.
Or the monkeys.
Yeah. So I'm excited that I was really looking forward to that because I'm a fan of Planet of the Apes. So, all right, next movie, Jenny.
What was it? There was something else in between it before.
I don't know. Do you have that?
It's not listed.
It's not listed.
I remember just this 20th Century Fox. What did we get for?
Are y'all thinking about this one?
Yeah, there's something before that.
This one.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Wolverine.
I guess I
could
just say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just do it. Yeah. It's okay.
I like doing my
Wolverine. Sorry, Wolverine.
Thrilling podcasting, guys. Thrilling podcasting.
Sorry, Wolverine. Rory was trying to like be secretive about it so we don't reveal things ahead of time. Wolverine. They showed more footage, a couple extra clips. It would look cool. It looked.
And what's his name came out?
Hugh Jackman came out. And the director.
They showed the trailer you've already seen. So it wasn't much. I mean, it's coming out soon, so they didn't have anything extra really to show.
Well, they showed one scene, one extra scene.
Oh, okay.
And
at the end, yeah.
Yeah, but it looked cool, and apparently it's, you know, they're pitching it as the Wolverine movie you've always wanted to see, where he goes.
Oh, and Hugh even said that we should see some berserker rage.
Yeah.
So that's freaking exciting.
Yeah. So I was on the fence about it, like Wolverine was the first one kind of.
I'm still on the fence.
Yeah, but if this James Mangold, I like James Mangold a lot. So hopefully in all the movies he kept like referencing on Twitter that he's kind of like modeling Wolverine about is like a bunch of westerns and a bunch of samurai movies. So I'm on board. And then came the next thing, which I thought, besides Godzilla, this was like my favorite thing.
Oh, dude, this is the first thing that got a standing ovation.
Yeah. Like, in literally.
Yeah.
Nothing else got a standing ovation.
Like, even the Superman Batman thing, like, everybody freaked out, but there wasn't, like, this one, everybody stood up.
Yeah, like, everyone was like, yes. get up, guys. Let's not be lazy.
Yeah.
Show some respect, man. So this the next panel was X-Men Days of Future Past. And first one that came out was Bryan Singer, right? Or who was it?
Yeah, Bryan Singer came out to introduce everybody.
To introduce everybody.
Well, the funny thing was, so the way that they did that was Hugh Jackman was like, okay, well, I know you guys don't really want to see any of my small things. I know I've been doing some smaller things. So this is one of the independent movies that I'm doing coming up, and I'm going to introduce someone to you. So give him a, you know, try to welcome him a little bit. Please welcome Bryan Singer. And the whole thing was that no one knew that he was coming because he kept tweeting, sorry, I can't be there. I've sent this instead. Sorry, I can't be there. I wish I could. Da, da, da. So everyone thought he wasn't going to be there. But they knew Hugh Jackman was, so they thought just Wolverine, whatever. But right when Bryan Singer came out, everyone automatically knew that it was the new X-Men.
Yeah.
And so he comes out and he's like, thanks, Hugh. And, so I've got some people that I want to introduce before we get started with anything.
Yeah.
That's a lot of bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had a huge, huge, like they had added like 3 more tables to the panel. So
they filled up the whole stage.
It was like 18 people?
18 people total. So one by one, he introduced everyone. He started with the 2 new characters, which were,
Quicksilver.
And Bishop. And, yeah. No. He did. The first 2 were Peter Dinklage.
Oh, yes.
Bishop
that's
was
right.
at the end.
That's right.
So
I love Peter Dinklage.
Peter Dinklage automatically got a standing ovation.
Well, he does. Yeah. He did when he came out for Game of Thrones. He always does.
He did get his own.
Because he's amazing.
And he knows, like, he kind of plays up the crowd. He's like more, guys, more. And
he's like, he does that every time.
So people lost their shit.
One by one, he introduced all the people from First Class first.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all them. And then... and then he introduced the big guys, which were from the original X-Men. So it was like Magneto and
McAvoy
Professor X. And no, McAvoy was in the first group. This was the second, the older X-Men.
Yeah.
So Hallie was there, Anna Paquin,
Ellen Page,
Iceman, all them, were all there.
And then they introduced the new first class.
Bishop,
But it was really cool. Then they made everybody put on their 3D glasses, and it was funny because everybody on the panel got 3D because they hadn't seen the footage.
Yeah,
so they got to see it for the first time too, and it was in 3D, and it looked really, really cool. It's kind of like it starts off with like this dystopian future where it's like Xavier and Magneto together, and they tell Wolverine that he has to go back in time, basically.
Like, and Wolverine's just got a little gray in his hair.
He's got like gray, like.
And by Xavier and Magneto, he means
the old ones.
Patrick Stewart
and Ian McKellen.
Yes. Yeah.
And they tell Wolverine, like, he has to go back. And Wolverine's like, you mean, so I'm going to go back and be in my body, like my young body? And he, like, so they kind of explain the intricacies of the time travel with Bishop, basically. And you basically see both storylines. Like, so it's a dystopian future. And then you see that, you know, the hint at the Sentinels and... It just looks cool, you know.
Did they show any Sentinels?
No.
They have all of this viral stuff with Sentinels, but we don't actually
see any Sentinels
in the trailer.
But it looked really super cool, and it's probably because, I mean, they still have like another month or two of filming, so.
Yeah. And the Sentinels are all good CG.
Yeah. So everything looked really, really cool, and they just had nothing but, you know, but good tidbits to talk about, so. That was really exciting. So
I think my favorite was the one person wanted to know what superhero they wanted to be.
Yeah.
And just hearing all, like, there's like 15 of them.
Everyone
like,
wanted to be Wolverine.
Yeah, like half the panel wanted to be Wolverine.
Yeah.
All
right. So let's skip to the other good stuff. So by far, the X-Men stuff was my favorite, and Godzilla. I don't know what it was for you. We'll talk about that later. But all right. Next, we saw the Marvel panel.
And everyone was like, there's no way Marvel could outdo X-Men this year.
Yeah, which is true. I agree. I don't think they outdid them.
I think it depends on the person.
I think that they outdid them from what I understand happened. So.
I think X-Men was my favorite panel more than, I think they outdid, just because of the cast that was there.
Okay,
I think
but,
they outdid
but what wins Tumblr is the Marvel panel.
Okay, let's talk about the Marvel panel.
It won Tumblr. Definitely won Tumblr.
All right, so who came out first, Jenny?
So first they decided to, the Chris Hardwick's doing the Marvel panel too, and
Kevin Feige came out.
He came out from, who's the Marvel
producer.
And all of a sudden, it starts like going, it goes black.
Oh,
and, then a light flashes and Loki appears. And it's actually Tom Hiddleston as Loki.
He's amazing. And I love him so much.
And he has one of those earpieces, so he doesn't have a microphone. Oh, so well, it's even more intense.
So sorry.
It's all black.
It's all black. And all of a sudden, you start hearing his monologue from the movie. And you're like, okay, so I've heard this before. They're just going to show a clip or whatever. And then it does the light flash, and Tom Hiddleston appears, and he's doing the actual monologue. And then he includes Hall H instead of
People of Earth.
Instead of People of Earth, he's like Hall H and all this stuff.
And he starts riffing like he's like call God. Say my name, and everybody's like okay. And like,
and then someone's like woohoo, and he's like kneel. He's like pointing at them and telling them to kneel. And then he tells like Chris Hardwick, get off the stage and all this stuff, you're not worthy or something like that. And then he does this whole thing. He's there for maybe less than 5 minutes.
And he leaves.
And he just leaves, walks away.
Yeah.
And everyone went wild. It was great. Yeah. We were all like, Loki, Loki, Loki. It was awesome.
If you want to see it, there's plenty. The video's out there. I've seen it on Tumblr.
We'll recorded a short video, so I'll try to put that up sometime. Well,
and if you look at the page for this episode, we'll try to include all the pictures and stuff for this all the panels.
So that was first, and that was to introduce talk about Thor a little bit. They just did a short little clip, which was kind of...
No one was there.
No one was there. They didn't do any Q&A or anything. No one was there at all. Wow.
It was just
Did the clip.
Yeah, well, they did the trailer, then the clip, which was really cool. They showed a full fight scene, which was really... I'm excited now to see it.
Yeah, it was choreographed really well.
Yeah. And it was finally like Chris Helm, Thor fighting his people that are at the same level as him, as opposed to he's fighting, you know,
humans.
It works so much better when it's in his world.
Yeah.
I loved it. I love the footage. I'm going to go see it. And then Kevin Feige introduced
Captain America.
He introduced the Russo brothers.
And the whole cast of Captain America came out, which is fine. That wasn't a big deal personally.
Yeah.
But they showed a clip. They didn't really have a trailer or anything. All they did was
the clip and that's right, because they didn't show other scenes.
No, they just did the one scene in the elevator
with Crossbones and Captain America, and it's really well done. They showed extra clips. Yeah, because they showed Robert Redford
and Falcon.
Yeah.
Falcon.
Yeah, they showed. So it was a scene, and then it cut into just quick little scenes of like the Falcon jumping off a building, and his wings come out.
Mm-hmm.
And
which he jumped off the helipad.
Helipad. That's crazy. And then you see like,
and it looks like they lose another one.
Yeah, well, but it looks like they have more than one.
Yeah.
And then you saw the full scene they showed was him and Frank Grillo as Crossbones. Yeah, Frank Grillo, what's up? And basically like. It's a fight scene with him and a bunch of henchmen jump in the elevator, and it's the point where Frank Grillo betrays. He kind of goes against S.H.I.E.L.D. and Captain America, and it was really cool because Captain America notices that he's going to get ambushed, and he says, "Does anybody want to get off the elevator now? Now's the time to do it." He basically, and then he just beats the shit out of everybody in the elevator. But that was really cool, and then the Falcon looks really cool, I thought.
And they changed the suit up a little bit, it seemed like.
It's blue now. Yeah. And at the end they showed the Winter Soldier. They showed Bucky. And he said, look, that's not a twist in the movie. He's like,
it's a twist for Captain America.
For Captain America, but not for the fans. If you've read the comic book, it's not a twist for you. There's other twists in that. And Robert Redford looks badass, and the vibe of it is of a political thriller, which I love. And the directors have kind of hinted that a big influence on this movie was 3 Days of the Condor with the star, one of the stars in the movie, Robert Redford. So,
what's her name? Black Widow.
Yeah, Black Widow is a big part of it.
She has a big role in
the
movie.
She's a big part of it. Yeah, she's really good looking.
Because I guess they don't want to give her a movie.
Yeah.
So they just
wrote
her a bigger part than Captain America.
And then everybody left that panel. And then they had Kevin Feige introduce, what's his name, the director of Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah.
James Gunn.
Mm-hmm.
So James Gunn came out, and he basically introduced everybody in Guardians of the Galaxy. Chris Pratt, Benicio del Toro,
Zoe Saldana,
Bautista, the wrestler,
Amy Pond, Karen Gillan.
Like, that's not her real name.
Yeah.
Karen Gillan. What else?
Merle.
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 What's his real name?
I don't know.
Michael Rooker. Michael Rooker. Michael Rooker. And Lee Pace is his name, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Really good looking
guy.
Digimon Hansu.
Digimon, sorry.
Y'all are really good at that, I just want to say. They're not looking at anything. That was all from their heads.
I thought you were being sarcastic.
Oh. Digimon Hansu. And then they showed a clip. This is the thing. They said they had only been filming for 10 days, but the footage was clearly really well rendered. So, which makes me think some of the footage they showed was from the test footage that James Gunn did.
Yeah.
To show Marvel his idea or the tone of the movie that he wanted to go for. But they showed a bunch of stuff. They showed
They introduced
a lot of them.
They showed all the characters.
John C. Reilly plays like this intergalactic policeman. and it's kind of like a lineup, and you see everybody, you know, Star-Lord, everybody who's in it in their costume. The raccoon, everybody.
And it was great.
It was really cool. It was
great comedic timing.
And they showed that I'm really excited about this because Marvel is really good about letting the director kind of have their own like style in it. And James Gunn has a really dark sense of humor, which is very apparent in the movie. And very apparent that it's part of the material. It works well with the material.
Like, oh, absolutely.
You have Chris Pratt like flipping off the camera, flipping off John C. Reilly. And, you know, they say asshole in it. So clearly they're letting him do his
version. Oh, and Karen Gilliam revealed her bald head.
Yeah. Still good looking, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be a good like superhero break movie. Like you still get to see a superhero movie, but it's like
it's
a
different.
Break. You're not like
it's not part
freaking
of
out the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not part of the Avengers. It won't link up to the Avengers either. It's its own thing, which I love.
It's gonna be so fun.
And then last thing, so they left, and then Kevin Feige was walking off, and it's funny because people were like, "No more!" Like everyone's like, "No, don't leave,
don't do it,
asshole!" No,
yeah.
They're like, "More, more!" And so he comes back, and he's like, "Well, they have nothing else." He's like, "All right, I'll introduce somebody you know," and he introduces
Joss Whedon
comes back out, and you're like, "What the hell is he gonna show? They haven't filmed Avengers." So
doesn't even sit down; just walks out in front of the stage, in front of the tables with a mic. He's like, "Hey guys, well, I mean, you guys know that we're doing the second one, so I just wanted to show you, you know, how it's going." So roll clip, and that was it. Like super short, sweet.
And you see Iron Man's mask being smashed.
God, yeah,
that into was beautiful. Into the Ultron mask, basically.
Age of Ultron.
Yeah, and basically reveals the logo of Avengers, Age of Ultron, and and then I went on to see an interview with him right after that. On the internet today, actually, where he talked about how the origin of Ultron will be different than in the comic book. He's like, we're making our own origin story of Ultron. So
that's
he's fine. Like, it's not anything. So I'm cool. And Ultron's cool. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So that concluded Marvel's panel. We didn't stay for the Kevin Smith thing. We left. And that concludes our film portion of Comic-Con.
Yeah, because Sunday was all TV.
Yes, and we saw some TV stuff on Hall H on Saturday as well, on
Friday.
Yeah.
And I saw a bunch on Thursday, so you guys get to hear a lot about from me.
Go on over to the next episode, which will be all the TV stuff of Comic-Con. All right, hopefully you enjoyed it, and keep listening. We're at The Film Podcast. You could find Jenny at?
J-E-H-N-E-I-G-H.
I'm at Michelle Coyle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E-C-O-Y-L-E.
And I'm Rory at Groat Heartstroke, GROATHARDSTROKE. Holy crap.
Yeah.
not doing that again.
So there you go. You can find us on the internet at thefilmpodcast.com. There you'll find, if you search this episode, you'll find links and stuff like that, pictures, and we'll pull up the Hare Lennox speech. That's really cool. We'll put everything we can up there. So check that out, and all the links to everybody here will be on there. All right. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And until next time, have a good day.